and Lords and Tenants Trust. Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Folks, there is a worldview that has now become prevalent in the United States and across the West. It is actually evil, not just mistaken, actually evil. I want to talk about that today because it has consequences for our politics and for election 2024. So there is a clip that is now going around the internet of Ta-Nehisi Coates. Ta-Nehisi Coates is a racial conflagrationist author who believes truly terrible things. He's been given pretty much every award that our stupid society has to offer, that our self-defeating white liberals have to offer. He has, for example, received over the course of his career a wide variety of awards. He was given, for example, a MacArthur Fellowship from the MacArthur Foundation. He won a George Polk Award in 2014 for commentary. He was given a 2015 National Book Award for nonfiction. He is the toast of the town. Ta-Nehisi Coates is treated as though he is a moral paragon, a sort of prophet of our times. That is just how he is treated. He's treated by the entire media this way. I mean, so much so that if you ask him a difficult question, all of CBS News melts down, which is what happened last week. He was on a show, a reporter asked him a tough question, and that reporter then took it directly in the teeth from the CBS News brass. But what Ta-Nehisi Coates believes is actually evil, and it is emblematic of a broader worldview that has now infused large swaths of the Democratic Party. Not every Democrat, large swaths of the upper elite of the Democratic Party believe exactly what Ta-Nehisi Coates believes. Huge swaths of the left in Europe believe what Ta-Nehisi Coates believe. So Ta-Nehisi Coates, just so that you know who he is and the reason why he's important, again, this is a person who's considered perhaps the leading intellectual light of the left in the United States, for sure. And Ta-Nehisi Coates, who's questioned, as we say, on CBS News because he has a new book out called The Message. And this book, The Message, is basically just a rabid screed about how evil Israel is. Now, prior to that, he'd used the same exact worldview to talk about how evil the United States is. But the thing that's setting people's hair on fire is what he said in an interview with former alleged comedian Trevor Noah. So here he was justifying the October 7th attacks and saying that were he a Palestinian, he himself might have entered Israel and slaughtered men, women, children, engaged in rape. Who knows? Here is Ta-Nehisi Coates explaining.
And I haven't said this out loud, but I think about it a lot. Well, 20 years old, born into Gaza, which is a giant open-air jail. And what I mean by that is if my father is a fisherman and he goes too far out into the sea, he might get shot.
Yeah.
By somebody off of, you know, the side of Israeli boats. If my mother picks the olive trees and she gets too close to the wall, she might be shot. If my little sister has, you know, cancer and she needs treatment because there are no, you know, facilities to do that in Gaza and I don't get the right permit, she might die. And I grow up under that oppression and that poverty and the wall comes down. Am I also strong enough or even constructed in such a way where I say, this is too far? I don't know that I am.
Hmm. Okay, and they are sitting there nodding as though he has said something deep. So first of all, put aside the lies. Put aside the idea that Israel is somehow keeping cancer-ridden children in Gaza for no reason. There are several dozen hospitals in Gaza. Most of them were used as fronts by Hamas. Billions of dollars flow into the Gaza Strip, and they are used entirely by Hamas in order to build up terror facilities. But it is also true that many of the people who were slaughtered in the Gaza envelope by Hamas were people who literally made it their daily business to drive people with cancer from Gaza to Israeli hospitals. In fact, Yahya Sinwar, the leader of Hamas, was in jail, and the Israelis treated him for brain cancer, healed him, and then released him. When he's talking about people being shot for picking olive trees. No, if you get too close to the no man's land in the border area and you refuse to obey orders, then you are taking risk in your own hand. Put aside all of that. Listen to the simple insanity of what he is saying. He is justifying the massacres of October 7th because they are the quote-unquote victims. We'll get to more on that in just a second. Today, members of the pro-life community might face imprisonment and millions of dollars in fines, but pro-abortion activists continue their attacks. Not only has the left exponentially increased their efforts to extinguish the lives of the unborn, they've also launched efforts to undermine those who are trying to defend those same unborn children. The fate of a fetus is even grimmer than ever. More and more babies never get that chance at life. Yet amid this darkness, there is a way to help defend life through the incredible work of Preborn's network of clinics. When you support Preborn, you provide love and life to mothers in crisis and at-risk babies. Showing these moms their child through ultrasound can double a baby's chance at life. Each life-saving ultrasound costs just $28. However, Preborn cannot continue this vital work without us, the pro-life community. Please consider giving your best gift today and sponsoring as many ultrasounds as you can. All gifts are tax-deductible. To donate securely, dial #250 and say keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. Preborn.com/Ben. Give generously and thank you. Now, to understand why this matters for America, you have to understand that this is not about Israel for Ta-Nehisi Coates. It's about something far deeper. And when he is justifying terrorism, what he's really doing is saying that if you're a member of a victim class, a class that he, as a self-appointed prophet, gets to define, if you are a member of a victim class, you have the right, nay, perhaps the obligation, to engage in full-scale violence and terrorism. What Ta-Nehisi Coates says there about Gazan civilians crossing the border and engaging in rape, murder, slaughter of children, what he says there could very easily be applied to the slaughter of white Americans under his own worldview, under his own rubric. And he's been very clear about this. He is not exactly hiding the ball. And this is the amazing thing. There's nothing new here, by the way. Jean-Paul Sartre, who's a ridiculous communist French philosopher who is taken seriously for half a century by nitwit liberals, wrote the exact same thing in his introduction to a book called The Wretched of the Earth by Frantz Fanon, in which he suggested that the West should essentially accept violence upon itself from third world peoples in order to expiate its own sins of colonialism. That's what Ta-Nehisi Coates believes. If you're a member of a victim class, you should be able to do violence to people who are members of the quote-unquote victimizer class. And again, anybody who's a member of a quote-unquote victim class, according to Ta-Nehisi Coates, has literally no agency. And if you're a member of a victimizer class, according to Ta-Nehisi Coates, you deserve violence to be done to you and your children. And again, this is part of a broader worldview that applies to the United States. And this is the part that's so sick about what's happening in the United States. This worldview has been taken into the bones of the left. This used to be a fringe crazy town worldview. Jean-Paul Sartre was not representative of the party of, say, Hubert Humphrey in the United States in 1968. But Ta-Nehisi Coates is a lauded, celebrated, champagne-drenched intellectual in the pages of The Atlantic. He is treated as though he has something important to say. So I want to trace his ideology a little bit here, because then you'll understand that what he's saying about Israel is really not about Israel at all. So he comes out with a book called Between the World and Me. That book comes out in the year 2015, right in the middle of the racial reckoning, right? Because after all, Ferguson happened in 2014. And this is his worldview, Ta-Nehisi Coates. Okay, he says about experiencing, his big example of experiencing racism in the United States is that one time he was on an elevator and someone said something to his child, and this was a telescoping of all America's racist history into an incident on an elevator in New York. Okay, here's what he writes in Between the World and Me. Quote, as we came off, you were moving at the dawdling speed of a small child. The whole book is written as a letter to his child. As we came off, you were moving at the dawdling speed of a small child. A white woman pushed you and said, come on. Many things now happen at once. There was the reaction of any parent when a stranger lays a hand on the body of his or her child. And there was my own insecurity and my ability to protect your black body and more. There was my sense that this woman was pulling rank. I knew, for instance, that she would not have pushed a black child out on my part of Flatbush because she would be afraid there and would sense, if not know, that there would be a penalty for such an action. But I was not out on my part of Flatbush, and I was not in West Baltimore, and I was far from the Mecca. The Mecca is what he suggests is sort of the racial utopia. I forgot all of that. I was only aware that someone had invoked their right over the body of my son. I turned and spoke to this woman, and my words were hot with all of the moment and all of my history. So first of all, the overall purple writing is beyond. But understand the incident that is the supposed inciting incident for his realization about race in America. He's on an elevator with his child, and a white woman is irritated the kid isn't moving fast enough in New York, a place of the rude. He immediately telescopes all of America's terrible, evil racial history into this incident. It never occurs to him that maybe the lady's just rude. Never occurs to him that maybe she's in a hurry because she has a reason to be in a hurry. No, it's all of America is racist and evil. And you can find that out by looking into the eyes of another person and never asking them a question. Because Ta-Nehisi Coates, as an incredibly rich and celebrated author, is a victim. And that white lady in the elevator was a victimizer, a racial victimizer, not just a victimizer of the child by being rude, a victimizer in a class sense. She's a member of a victimizer class. So what does that mean for Ta-Nehisi Coates? It means, for example, that he doesn't give a about 9/11. He actually says this in Between the World and Me. It is beyond comprehension that this country grants the worldview of people like Ta-Nehisi Coates any time of day at all, let alone making this person a celebrated author. He's a moral imbecile. But that's too kind, because imbecility suggests that stupidity lies at the root of this. It's not imbecility. It is malign evil, the worldview that Ta-Nehisi Coates expresses. By the way, this is nothing new. I've been saying this for a decade. Everybody else is just catching up. Here is what he says about 9/11. This is about, by the way, firefighters and police officers on 9/11. Because remember, America is a racialist, evil country in which there's a white supremacist class and then victim classes. And he's a member of the victim class. So he talks in his book about 9/11. And he's talking about the firefighters and police officers who were turned to ash. Quote, they were not human to me. Black, white, or whatever. They were menaces of nature. They were the fire, the comet, the storm, which could, with no justification, shatter my body. Now, he uses, throughout his writing, the term body, because he believes, I assume, that if he says body as opposed to me, then this makes it have more import, because now it's all about the physical being of black people or something. In reality, it is just a cheap way of trying to buy literary cred. But he then explains, in an interview with New York Magazine that same year, that the death of one particular black person at the hands of police so alienated Coates, this is New York Magazine, that when he watched 9/11 slightly stoned on the roof of his Brooklyn building, he recalls that he felt nothing at all. You must always remember, Coates writes to his child, that the sociology, the history, the economics, the graphs, the charts, the regressions all land with great violence upon the body. This is the setting up of a victim class that is then justified in doing literally anything. He feels nothing about 9/11, nothing. And let me just express something to you. If you feel nothing about 9/11 on 9/11, you should not be in the United States. It is that simple. You do not belong in the West. If you feel nothing about 9/11, the gravest act of evil of my lifetime, you don't deserve to be here. You don't deserve to be living off the fruits of the civilization that you are currently leeching off of, which is what Ta-Nehisi Coates is. He is a scavenger. He is a leech on the body of civilization, of Western civilization. We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first, well, folks, they are pandering and pandering away because election season is in full swing and the future is on everybody's mind. But do you know what else should be on your mind? The future of your family. No matter what happens over the next 4 years, one thing remains constant, the need to protect your loved ones. That's where Policy Genius comes in. Let's talk about reality for a moment. If something were to happen to you, would your family be able to cover their expenses? Mortgage payments, college tuition, daily living costs? Those don't just disappear. Life insurance can ensure your family has the financial support they need, even if you're not there to provide it. Did you know that 41% of Americans don't have the life insurance coverage they need? Don't be part of that statistic. Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. They help you find the right life insurance policy at the best price, so you can have peace of mind knowing your family is protected. Now, I know what you're thinking. Ben, getting life insurance sounds like a hassle. Well, it isn't, because with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options are 100% online and let you avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius makes it super easy. Their licensed support team helps you get what you need fast. They answer questions, they handle paperwork, they advocate for you throughout the process. Save time, save money, providing a financial safety net for your family. Head to policygenius.com/Shapiro or click the link in the description. Get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com/Shapiro. All right, coming up, more on Ta-Nehisi Coates' perverse worldview. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Join us as we celebrate a milestone in American history, the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Mark your calendars for November 10th at the Wind River Event Center, where everyone is invited to honor the Marines in style. The celebration kicks off with a march to colors featuring the Jefferson Pipes and Drums as we pay tribute to our oldest and youngest Marines. This unforgettable evening includes a delicious dinner, birthday cake, and dancing. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. That's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. visit ShastaMarines.com. Again, that's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. We can't wait to celebrate with you on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. See you there.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us. We believe there's a difference between a man and a woman, and I think you probably know what it is.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Ta-Nehisi Coates is the toast of the town. He also happens to be a moral pervert. In that same book, he talked about his generalized worldview. He talks about slavery reparations. There's an article in 2014 that really sort of exploded him on the scene. There's this terrible article for The Atlantic about slavery reparations. And we were all supposed to pretend that it was deep. It was really, really not deep. It was incredibly stupid. Basically, the idea was America is a terrible racial place with a terrible racial history. Therefore, black people deserve reparations. He doesn't explain how that would happen. He doesn't explain the pragmatic method by which you would determine whether someone ought to receive reparations or pay reparations. It was simple. Everything to Ta-Nehisi Coates is simple, not because he's a simpleton. I don't think that he's a simpleton, right? It's easy to attribute simplistic ideas to morons. I don't think he's a moron. I think that evil constantly masquerades as simplicity in cases like this. So here is what he says about reparations in Between the World and Me. Quote, in the months before the article was published, I felt that I had at last discovered the answer to the haunting question of why my people so reliably settled at the bottom of nearly every socioeconomic indicator. The answer was simple. There it is. Very simple. The persistence of our want was matched exactly to the persistence of our plunder. I was blessed with a gift, and the gift was not simply the knowledge that they were lying about us, about this country, about themselves, but the proof. Right? That is simple. That is simple. Failure equals victimization. Group failure equals group victimization. Now, the problem for Ta-Nehisi Coates is that there are an awful lot of members of groups in the United States and elsewhere who have been historically victimized. One of those groups happens to be the Jews, which, as we'll see, is one of the reasons he despises Israel, wants to see it wiped off the planet and justifies October 7th. It turns out that when other victimized groups in history and today succeed, this thwarts his entire victimizer narrative. When it turns out that people of any race act with agency and overcome historic obstacles in order to succeed, it violates his entire worldview in which victims have no agency and victimizers are necessarily victorious, which means, by the same sort of equation, that everybody who is an achiever is in fact a victimizer. And he makes this clear, fast forward 10 years, and you're now in The Message. Okay, The Message is his new book, the one that we are supposed to treat as though it deserves some sort of great moral respect. In this book, he writes, quote, I remember watching World News Tonight with my father and deriving from him a dull sense that the Israelis were white and the Palestinians were black, which is to say that the former were the oppressors and the latter the oppressed. It's the exact same language, right? Same exact language with reparations, 9/11, with Israel. It's very simple. Victim equals black. Victimizer equals white. Israelis successful equal white. Palestinians failure as a group in terms of economic and socioeconomic status equals black. That simple, according to Ta-Nehisi. And there's one other element. Victim means you now get to do whatever you want to do to anyone else. Literally anything. Rape, murder, baby slaughter. You get to do it. You're fully justified. Everything is Nat Turner's rebellion. So he says about Israel, quote, I don't think I ever in my life felt the glare of racism burn stronger and more intense than in Israel. There are aspects I found familiar. The light-skinned Palestinians who speak of passing. The black and Arab Jews whose stories could have been staged in Atlanta instead of Tel Aviv. But for most of my time there, I felt like I was outside the crosshairs. The attitude in the hotel, for instance, was less N-word get out and more, what the F are you doing here? So again, he is just telescoping Jim Crow onto Israel, which is absurd since 20% of the Israeli population is Arab. Half of Israeli Jews are from Arab countries and therefore not white in any technical sense. Doesn't matter. He's got the model. Everything has to fit inside the model. Now, why is this important? The reason it's important is because Ta-Nehisi Coates, as a lauded intellectual, is not actually just speaking for himself. He is representative of a much broader contingent in the American left, as evidenced by the fact that Trevor Noah is sitting there and nodding at him. So Trevor Noah, who had a show for years on Comedy Central where I'm not sure he ever told an actual joke, he not only does he sit there and nod at Ta-Nehisi Coates as he says these truly evil things, he then explains that October 7th is basically like the American Revolution, which is strange since George Washington and the colonials did not, in fact, travel to Britain, slaughter babies in their crib, rape every British woman they could find. Strange. The moral insanity of these people. But again, I hesitate to say insanity because I don't actually think they're insane. I think they're quite sane. They're just evil. Here's Trevor Noah being evil.
If you remove every context from everything, then everything could go anywhere. Correct. You know what I mean? Correct. If you remove America's history and America's journey, America's this, then it's like, yeah, those people who fought against the British, they were terrorists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? You can call it like, the Boston Tea Party. That's terrorism.
Okay, so we are now back to one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. This was an argument actually made by people like Michael Moore during the insurgency in Iraq. This has been a deep-rooted part of left-wing ideology for a very long time, that the West is evil. Anyone who attacks the West is then necessarily victimized by the West and good. And here's the thing. It is indistinguishable in many ways from the ideology of somebody like Barack Obama, who is actually president of the United States. I'll read you a quote. This is a quote from either Ta-Nehisi Coates or Barack Obama. You choose. Quote, I know, I have seen, the desperation and disorder of the powerless, how it twists the lives of children on the streets of Jakarta or Nairobi, how easily they slip into violence and despair. He compares those, by the way, to the south side of Chicago. That would be Barack Obama. Indistinguishable from the words of Ta-Nehisi Coates. You see, all those kids in Indonesia or in Kenya, exactly the same south side of Chicago or in the Gaza Strip, these are all members of a victim class. These are all members of a victim class, according to Barack Obama. Okay, that ideology is spread throughout the Democratic Party and throughout our legacy media, which is why it is now emerging, for example, that apparently 2023, CBS News informed people, informed its own journalists, that you should not, under any circumstances, use the term terrorism to actually describe what happened on October 7th, literally the day after. Literally the day after. Okay, quote, this is from CBS News. You wonder why CBS News is treating Ta-Nehisi Coates with kid gloves? Because they agree with him. This came, email, October 8th, 2023, quote, reporting on this weekend's violence in Israel and Gaza requires a closer look at the language we use when describing events. For instance, the U.S. government considers Hamas a terrorist organization. However, suggesting an individual is a terrorist may be inaccurate depending on the facts. There are some who believe the attack by Hamas is a justified retaliation to Israeli occupation of their lands. Others believe this to be an unprovoked attack on Israel, and as such, Israel has every right to defend itself. That's an email from CBS News. Who knows? Who knows? Perhaps the mass rape, slaughter, murder of baby, perhaps all of that is just a justified attack. The language of Ta-Nehisi Coates, the language of Barack Obama, victim, victimizer. That's all. That's the entire narrative. And it's something bought into by Barack Obama. It's something that's bought into by Kamala Harris as well, by the way. Back in 2019, 2020, she was much clearer about this. Now she's trying to obfuscate. But she came out, if you remember, back in 2019 in favor of slavery reparations. She said, quote, we had over 200 years of slavery. We had Jim Crow for almost a century. We had legalized discrimination, segregation. We have to recognize that everybody did not start out on an equal footing in this country. And in particular, black people have not. All right, coming up, Kamala Harris, her worldview mirrors that of Ta-Nehisi Coates or Barack Obama. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Inviting cultures beyond borders invites you to a free special community event Saturday, October 19th at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This free event is open to the public and will feature on-site health screening, multicultural music, dancing, martial arts, and Native American practices. Free booth spaces are still available. Free international foods will also be featured, including Punjabi Indian food, Indonesian food, African food, American Mediterranean food, pizza, and even ice cream. Interact with speakers and learn more about health equity and climate resilience. Plus, there will be kids' activities, too. This event is co-sponsored by Shasta Interfaith, Shasta Community Health Center, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. For more information, call 530-440-2626 or 530-339-0530. Don't miss this special event Saturday, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive, just off of Deschutes Road in Anderson.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals, and the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. But that's not all. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close and all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. Support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you will find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. And it's election season, so don't forget to vote.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Kamala Harris tries to pretend she's moderate. Her worldview looks very much like that of Barack Obama, and in much softer form than of Ta-Nehisi Coates. You wonder why Kamala Harris was bailing out rioters in 2020? The reason she was bailing out rioters is because, in large scale, she agrees there are victim classes in the United States, and those victim classes have a right to be revengeful on the civilization that houses them. That is the generalized worldview here. It is hideous. It is evil. It is dangerous. And again, it is not in any way anomalous. It is not an anomaly what Ta-Nehisi Coates is saying. There are people across America who actually believe it. They're largely on our college campuses, in the legacy media, in cloistered enclaves in New York City and San Francisco and Los Angeles and Chicago. But that is a very powerful cadre of people who believe that. And it's quite terrible. And it is intolerable for a country that hopes at some point for some level of unity, for a country that wishes to defend itself, for a civilization that is worth defending. By the way, the aftermath of the Ta-Nehisi Coates interview on CBS News, which we've talked about this week, the one where he was questioned by a journalist, the aftermath of that is that CBS News, after that interview between Tony DiJacopo and Coates, they didn't just bring in DiJacopo for a struggle session in front of the entire legacy media staff at CBS News. They then promptly informed all of their journalists they should stop identifying Jerusalem as being part of Israel, despite the fact that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Because, you see, to acknowledge basic facts and truth runs counter. And there are a lot of people today who are saying, well, you know, Ta-Nehisi Coates, he just makes a bunch of factual errors in his book. Those are not errors. He's lying. He doesn't care enough to find out whether it's true or not, because facts are irrelevant. Remember, if you're a member of the victim class, it's not just that you get to rape, murder. And if you're a member of a victim class, according to Ta-Nehisi Coates, you get to lie. Why wouldn't you? After all, it's just a power game. That worldview is evil, with a capital E, and we shouldn't forget it. There are lots of disagreements we can have in politics, lots of them in the West. We can disagree about tax rates. We can disagree about the role of government in our lives in terms of subsidies and in terms of regulation. We can disagree in terms of foreign policy, who ought to be backed and to what extent. Those are all rational conversations. What is not a rational conversation is the assumption that if you are a member of a class that Ta-Nehisi Coates deems a victim, you get to participate in evil. And we can tell whether you're a victim in this rubric simply by looking at your level of failure and poverty. That is not a conversation. That is a cudgel. And huge parts of the left are wielding it today. Okay, meanwhile, the Kamala Harris campaign is suffering. They are having a really tough time out there. As we'll see in a moment, they're now trotting out Barack Obama in all of his glory to do this routine. The levels of missteps by this campaign are truly incredible at this point. So if you take a look at the swing states right now, in the Real Clear Politics polling average nationally, Harris is up a couple of points. But in the swing states, according to the Real Clear Politics polling average, Trump now has a slight lead in Pennsylvania, a bigger lead, actually, in Michigan. He leads in Arizona. He leads in North Carolina. He leads in Georgia. And now remember, all he has to do is win North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, which he's going to win all three of those. And then he has to pick off one of the blue wall states. Right now, he's leading in at least two, and perhaps all three. In fact, there's internal polling that President Trump just released. There's a poll conducted by Tony Fabrizio and John McLaughlin, and it found Trump with leads ranging from 1 to 5 percentage points, not only in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, but also in Nevada. According to that internal polling, Trump is leading by 3% in Arizona. He's leading by 5% in Georgia. He's leading by 1 in Michigan. He's leading by 3 in Nevada, 1 in North Carolina, 1 in Pennsylvania, 1 in Wisconsin. Now, again, these are all within margin of error. It's still a very close election, but it is very obvious that the momentum is with the Republicans at this point. The New York Times is now admitting that Republicans are about to gain control of the Senate. And they are. I mean, they're going to gain control of the Senate because Jim Justice is going to win in West Virginia, and Tim Sheehy is going to win in Montana. And then it's just a question of how many swing seats Republicans can pick up. So yesterday, I spent time campaigning with Bernie Moreno in Ohio. Bernie is going to win that Senate seat over Sherrod Brown, who's a terrible senator and has been there longer than I've been alive, picking up taxpayer money. Bernie's a terrific candidate. He's going to win over there. That's going to make 52 for the Republicans. Last week, I was out campaigning in Wisconsin with Eric Hovde. He's going to defeat Tammy Baldwin, I believe, in that race. How do I know? Well, because the last time there was a Wisconsin Senate race where a Republican was even running close, Ron Johnson was running 3 to 5 points behind his opponent and ended up winning that seat. Right now, Hovde is running dead even with Tammy Baldwin. He's got the momentum. I think he wins that race. That takes you to 53. And then you have Dave McCormick. Dave McCormick is, of course, running against Bob Casey in Pennsylvania, running a really tight race there. McCormick is a terrific discipline candidate. I think Dave pulls that one out, too. We'll be campaigning with him a little bit later on. Yeah, to me, it's obviously very important that Republicans take the Senate because, again, the Ta-Nehisi Coates worldview rides strong in the Democratic Party and must be defeated. And my hope is that Republicans end up with something like 54 seats. But even the New York Times is now admitting that Republicans appear poised to take control of the Senate. And the latest polling from the New York Times and Siena College shows Republicans leading by 4 in Texas, that's Cruz over Allred, by 8 in Montana, where he is blowing out John Tester. Rick Scott is beating Debbie McCarthy Powell by 9 points, according to this same polling. So it looks very much as though Republicans are in control in the Senate races. There is one race that's sort of weird, and that is the reelection bid of Senator Deb Fischer, Republican of Nebraska. She's running against an independent named Dan Osborne, and that one is looking a little tighter than it probably should. But Democrats certainly do not have the momentum at this point in time, and they're basically admitting it. According to Politico, Democrats are deploying prominent black surrogates to Michigan to deliver an urgent plea. Black men, we need you. This is one of the reasons why people like Barack Obama are going back out on the trail. Black turnout for Kamala Harris is not nearly what it was for Barack Obama. For a wide variety of reasons, including the fact that Kamala Harris is running a really anti-male campaign. Black males in particular are not warm to it. They see her as what she is, an upper crust coastal elite who has no connection to their lives or their problems. They are correct in this assessment, by the way. Obama is out there campaigning on behalf of Kamala Harris. And I have to say, the way that he talks to black men, as though membership, again, in the black category means you inherently have to vote for the other black person, is really pretty insulting. It really is. As though all black people have the same experience in the United States or the same ideas in the United States. Blackness is not a religion like Jewishness, right? Judaism has a religious component. You can be a black liberal, you can be a black conservative. It's a color of your skin. But according to Barack Obama, you need to vote for Kamala because Kamala is a member of your victim class.
We have not yet seen the same kinds of energy and turnout in all quarters of our neighborhoods and communities as we saw when I was running. Now, I also want to say that that seems to be more pronounced with the brothers. So if you don't mind, just for a second, I'm going to speak to y'all directly and say that when you have a choice that is this clear, when on the one hand you have somebody who grew up like you, knows you, went to college with you, understands the struggles and pain and joy that comes from those experiences.
Notice that at no point does he actually make an argument that she's going to make your life better or be a good president of the United States. He simply says she's a member of your victim class. If she's a member of your victim class, you better get out there and vote for a member of your victim class. That's why I say, Ta-Nehisi Coates, Barack Obama, separated by some of their lingo, not particularly separated in terms of their worldview. It turns out that's really off-putting. People don't like it very much. It also turns out that you know what's off-putting? The absolute disdain that members of the upper echelon of the Democratic Party have for normies. It really is an amazing thing. They're running a campaign where they need to win a blue wall state. All three of these states are blue collar. All three of these states have probably a higher than average number of, say, Catholics. That's true certainly for Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. And yet, Gretchen Whitmer, who is the awful governor of Michigan, she cut a video yesterday with a podcaster named Liz Plank that if this wasn't what they're going for, I don't know what they're going for. It is pretty clearly a derogatory reference to communion. I'm not sure how else to read this exactly. There have been some attempts to say this is just a meme that's going around, but for those who are not memesters, I mean, you talk about two online. This looks as though Gretchen Whitmer is mocking communion by Liz Plank is on her knees in weird, I mean, this is weird. These people are weird. On her knees, receiving into her mouth a Dorito put into her mouth by Gretchen Whitmer, who's wearing a Harris Walls hat. Now, the disdain for kind of normal people that rolls off the Democratic Party at this point is truly an incredible thing. Here we go. For those who can't see, it's Liz Plank accepting into her mouth, a la communion, a Dorito from Gretchen Whitmer, who's wearing a Harris Walls hat, and then nodding into camera. It's like a Dom sub weird thing going on. They are so strange, and they're not just strange. They have disdain for Americans, true disdain for America. I mean, if you're a Catholic and you watch that, I don't know how else you read that, except that Gretchen Whitmer, she ain't hot on the Catholics. The religious symbolism there, pretty obvious, I think, to anyone. Meanwhile, how do you really know the Democrats are in trouble? Tim Walz is out there openly saying they should get rid of the Electoral College. When you are in an active race for the presidency and you say we should dump the Electoral College, you're admitting you're losing. That's what that is. You're admitting you might win the popular vote and lose the Electoral College vote. That's the only reason you want to dump the Electoral College. You want to change the rules of the game. So here's Tim Walz being made uncomfortable, being asked a tough question about this is how bad journalism has gotten. Apparently the toughest journalist they could find was Michael Strahan, one of the few people to ask a difficult question of a Democrat during this election cycle.
I want to go back to something you said on Tuesday. You said, I think all of us know the Electoral College needs to go. But the campaign came out later that night, and they said that's not their stance. Yeah.
Well, it's not the campaign's position. And the point I'm trying to make is that there's folks that feel every vote must count in every state. Mm-hmm. And I think some of folks feel that's not the case. Our campaign does that. And the point I'm saying is, I mean, five states in 2 days, we're out there making the case that the campaign's position is clear, that that's not their position. Their position and my position is to make sure that everybody understands their vote, no matter what state they're in, matters.
So that's something that you and Vice President Harris disagree on?
I have spoken about it in the past, that she's been very clear on this, and the campaign and my position is the campaign's position.
Yeah, so there he is trying to walk it back. Well, he is a numbskull, as he has declared himself. We'll get to more on that in just a second, but first, football season is heating up, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action while watching football. With over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to everyone. The app is really simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 100 times your money. Prize Picks even invented the flex play, so you can still cash out if one of your picks doesn't hit. Producer Jake loves to use Prize Picks, whether it's watching football, basketball, or baseball. Producer Jake always seems to be getting in on the action and making the right picks. In fact, if he does any better, he might not work here anymore. He's just going to buy himself a suite at the St. Regis or something. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code Shapiro and get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code Shapiro on Prize Picks to get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states where it is lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Again, Prize Picks, it's a blast to use. Check it out as football season heats up. Plenty of picks to make. Download that Prize Picks app today. Use code Shapiro. Get $50 of credit instantly when you play $5. All right, coming up, Barack Obama joins the campaign trail. He is so off-putting. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Bye.
Scott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Barack Obama's out there on the campaign trail hoping to create enthusiasms for Kamala Harris. He's trying to convince young black men to vote for Kamala Harris. He did that by going to some sort of event and then telling them they need to vote for Kamala Harris because she's black and they're black, so vote for her. He also suggested, of course, they might be sexist, and that's the reason they're really not voting for her, that if she were black male, maybe they'd vote for her, but she's black female and they're misogynist. So we'll see how that works out for him. He also went on the campaign trail and then proceeded to be himself. And I got to tell you, the power of Barack Obama is non-transferable. He himself is popular. He has never shown any aptitude for transferring that popularity to anyone who's not named Barack Obama, which is why over the course of his presidency, he lost a dozen governorships. He lost a ton of Senate seats. He lost an enormous number of House seats and state legislatures all over the country. It turns out that the backlash to Barack Obama did not come in the form of a direct electoral backlash to Obama himself. It came in the form of, you know, a backlash to his entire party. So he's out there being himself, and it's not I don't think it's particularly great for Kamala Harris, frankly. So first, he tries to claim Trump's economy as his own, which is pretty amazing. Right? So you can't have it both ways. Either Donald Trump's economy sucked and he shouldn't be president, or Donald Trump's economy was awesome and he should be president. Obama seems to want to have it both ways. He seems to want to say that Donald Trump's economy was bad, but also it was great, which is why it actually was not Donald Trump's. It was Barack Obama's. Try to follow the big brain logic here from Barack Obama.
The reason some people think, well, I don't know, I remember that economy when he first came in being pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty good, because it was my economy. We had 75 straight months of job growth that I handed over to him. It wasn't something he did. I spent 8 years cleaning up the mess that the Republicans had left me the last time.
Okay, so I just want to get this straight. If that's the case, that the next president owns the economy of the last president, so, you know, the last president is responsible for the successes, how do you tap Biden's record? Quick, answer me that. So if, according to Barack Obama, Donald Trump's early economic record is because of Barack Obama, then what about Joe Biden touting his economic record? Is that also because of Donald Trump? Like, how does that work exactly? He's so arrogant and he's so egocentric. It really is quite terrible. And then he told some jokes about how Donald Trump is selling Bibles or something. Again, here's the thing about Barack Obama. If you're going to do the Donald Trump is a con man because he's selling Bibles, you probably should have some respect for the actual Bible, which they think Barack Obama most certainly does not. There's not a single aspect of biblical morality that Barack Obama really, truly believes.
Constant attempts to sell you stuff. Who does that? Selling you gold sneakers and a $100,000 watch and most recently a Trump Bible. You know, he wants you to buy the Word of God, Donald Trump edition. He got his name right there next to Matthew and Luke. I mean, you could not make this stuff up. If you saw it on Saturday Night Live, you'd say, well, no, that's going too far. No, he's doing that.
Well, I mean, at least Donald Trump's fans want to buy the Bible, as opposed to fans of Barack Obama who apparently want to discard it entirely. This is a guy who called people who believe in God and the Bible bitter clingers. So, yeah, forgive me if I don't take your newfound biblical respect all that seriously. And then, of course, Barack Obama roasted Trump, suggesting that he has to change his own diapers because Donald Trump is, of course, really old, which is weird because 5 seconds ago he was saying Joe Biden was the best candidate for president. By the way, Joe Biden's still the president.
I remember buying diapers. I remember the first time I went in the store, right after Malia was born. I was like, what? That's how much diapers cost? I remember changing diapers. You think Donald Trump ever changed a diaper?
No! No chance!
Yeah. I almost said that, but I decided I shouldn't say it.
he's so awful. He's truly so awful. It is amazing that he was a two-term president in the United States, but, you know, it was under Barack Obama that the country really started to come apart. In any case, the Biden-Harris-Walls campaign, it's all one big blob at this point. They continue to fail on every front. And everyone can see that they continue to fail on every front. It is amazing how Joe Biden, who's currently president of the United States, is looking for someone else to blame on the lackluster performance by FEMA in the face of two separate hurricanes. So Joe Biden is now out there saying that Donald Trump is un-American for how he's talking about Joe Biden's efforts on hurricane relief, which is weird because I remember the entire Democratic Party suggesting that George W. Bush was a vicious racist during Hurricane Katrina.
What we're providing now to make sure people have the emergency relief they need, the dollars just to be able to get a prescription filled, to get a baby formula done, all the things, that $750 that you're talking about, that Mr. Trump and all those other people know, it's a lie to suggest that's all they're going to get. That's bizarre. It's bizarre. They got to stop this. They're being so damn un-American with the way they're talking about this stuff. But there's going to be a need for significant amounts of money. We're already underway at trying to calculate what the cost will be because we don't want to mislead anybody. We want to make sure all the costs are able to be covered.
I don't want to hear about people calling each other un-American from this guy. This guy who stood in front of Independence Hall and suggested that all of his political opponents were dire threats to the exact fabric of the United States. It's incredible. Then, of course, Joe Biden suggested that the reasons for lack of funding by FEMA with all due speed, that's because Congress needs to allocate more money.
On FEMA funding, how much time does Congress have to act before FEMA or the SBA run out of money?
That's in discussion now. I don't want to give you a mislead you. I think in terms of the SBA, it's pretty right at the edge right now. And I think the Congress should be coming back and moving on emergency needs immediately, and they're going to have to come back after the election as well, because this is going to be a long haul for total rebuilding. It's going to take several $1 billion. It's not going to be a matter of just a little bit.
Okay, so apparently he needs more money, right? Only one problem. He doesn't, actually. It turns out that there's still about $11 billion in FEMA disaster funding that has been allocated. According to Politico, it was the Congress of the United States just last month that actually allocated $20.3 billion for FEMA relief. Okay, FEMA has now spent about $9 billion of that. Well, I mean, that leaves, by my calculation, you know, like $11 billion you guys have not allocated yet. That's a lot of money. So you might want to allocate that now. Congress can come back in 2 weeks and refill the fund. That's what Speaker Johnson is saying, and he's correct.
Was it a mistake to leave and adjourn the Congress for the campaign trail without addressing more disaster relief funding, given the circumstances that we now find ourselves in?
Well, the fact is, I think many people have not fully understood, is that we did address it, and we did appropriate $20 billion additional dollars to FEMA with early drawdown authority. So they're sitting on a giant pile of cash, and they haven't used it yet.
He is right about that, of course. All right, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here with much, much more on Monday. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. Former President Donald Trump hosting a huge rally in Reno, Nevada earlier tonight on the heels of his visit to Colorado. The drive is anti-immigration message.
Donald Trump detoured from key battleground states Friday to visit a Denver suburb that's been in the news over illegal immigration. Colorado reliably votes Democratic statewide, but Trump came to Aurora to highlight his anti-immigration message. He said he plans to launch a deportation effort he would call Operation Aurora.
We will send elite squads of ICE, Border Patrol, and federal law enforcement officers to hunt down, arrest, and deport every last illegal alien gang member until there is not a single one left.
Trump called for the death penalty for any migrant that kills an American citizen or a law enforcement officer. I'm Norman Hall.
Also at townhall.com, 8 people are dead, many more injured, but Florida residents are thankful Hurricane Milton was not as bad as been feared.
People are pretty pleased with the way Florida does this, and it's not our first rodeo. I mean, we had Helene a couple of weeks ago and numerous storms over the past 3 to 5 years. So I think people are used to it. They know what to expect, and they are pretty happy.
Roger P. Shulman, news director for Salem Media in Tampa, says heroic rescuers and rescues have been carried out by many first responders.
An apartment complex suddenly started flooding in a flash flood, and they were getting calls that people were having trouble getting out. They finally got there and found that some of these apartments, they had water up to the ceiling, and they had to get these people out. They rescued 500 people from this complex.
A military investigation has concluded that 2 Navy SEALs drowned as they tried to climb aboard a ship carrying illicit Iranian-made weapons to Yemen because of training failures and a lack of understanding about what to do after a fall into deep, turbulent waters. You'll find more online at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
If you understand the impact this election may have on their retirement savings, in less than 30 days, our entire economy could face a monumental shift that could destroy a huge amount of value many Americans have stored in their 401ks or IRAs. In times like these, the most trusted store of wealth in human history stands out, physical gold and silver. Many Americans have looked to True Gold Republic for help. They specialize in helping those with a 401k, IRA, or other retirement accounts convert their stocks and bonds into physical gold and silver to protect their hard-earned savings. True Gold is offering listeners a free copy of their Election Gold Protection Kit today. To claim yours, call 800-300-GOLD. This information is free and might very well save your comfortable retirement. By acting before the election, you can still make a tax and penalty-free conversion with the help of True Gold's award-winning team. Call 800-300-GOLD. That's 800-300-GOLD. True Gold Republic is not a financial advisor. Consult with your tax advisor before investing. Call 800-300-GOLD.
Workers at a coal mine in southwest Pakistan have gone on strike after a gunman fatally shot at least 20 miners.
What we understand is that the workers in this mine were in the accommodation overnight. This happened just after midnight. They were then rounded up by the attackers, who then opened fire on them. Now, we have not heard anything from any group claiming this particular attack, but people are thinking and suggesting it could potentially be the Baluch Liberation Army, the BLA, which is a militant separatist group that operates in the area, has previously claimed attacks in the area, but as I say, at the moment, no claim yet.
BBC correspondent Caroline Davis reporting. 2 evacuation ships have docked in Turkey, bringing Turkish citizens and their families back from Lebanon amid an escalation of the war in the Middle East. The 2 vessels were part of a convoy of 5 ships that departed Turkey Wednesday, carrying some 300 tons of humanitarian aid to Lebanon. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. South Korea's central bank has cut its policy rate for the first time in more than 4 years.
The rate cut comes as pressure to revive a sluggish economy outweighs concerns about the country's level of household debt. The Bank of Korea lowered its key interest rate by a quarter percentage point to 3.25% following a meeting of its Monetary Policy Committee. It was the committee's first move to lower borrowing costs since May 2020, when the economy was weathering the COVID-19 pandemic.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. U.S. stocks rose to record levels as J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, other big financial companies rallied on better-than-expected profit reports. The S&P 500 climbed 0.6% earlier today to top its all-time high, set record earlier this week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average jumping 1% and also notched a record. The NASDAQ composite lagged the market with a gain of 0.3% after a slide for Tesla kept it in check. Townhall.com.
Inviting Cultures Beyond Borders invites you to a free special community event Saturday, October 19th at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This free event is open to the public and will feature on-site health screening, multicultural music, dancing, martial arts, and Native American practices. Free booth spaces are still available. Free international foods will also be featured, including Punjabi Indian food, Indonesian food, African food, American Mediterranean food, pizza, and even ice cream. Interact with speakers and learn more about health equity and climate resilience. Plus, there will be kids' activities, too. This event is co-sponsored by Shasta Interfaith, Shasta Community Health Center, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. For more information, call 530-440-2626 or 530-339-0530. Don't miss this special event Saturday, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive, just off of Deschutes Road in Anderson.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Folks, there is a worldview that has now become prevalent in the United States and across the West. It is actually evil, not just mistaken. Actually evil. I want to talk about that today because it has consequences for our politics and for election 2024. So there is a clip that is now going around the internet of Ta-Nehisi Coates. Ta-Nehisi Coates is a racial conflagrationist author who believes truly terrible things. He's been given pretty much every award that our stupid society has to offer, that our self-defeating white liberals have to offer. He has, for example, received over the course of his career a wide variety of awards. He was given, for example, a MacArthur Fellowship from the MacArthur Foundation. He won a George Polk Award in 2014 for commentary. He was given a 2015 National Book Award for nonfiction. He is the toast of the town. Ta-Nehisi Coates is treated as though he is a moral paragon, a sort of prophet of our times. That is just how he is treated. He's treated by the entire media this way. I mean, so much so that if you ask him a difficult question, all of CBS News melts down, which is what happened last week. He was on a show, a reporter asked him a tough question, and that reporter then took it directly in the teeth from the CBS News brass. But what Ta-Nehisi Coates believes is actually evil, and it is emblematic of a broader worldview that has now infused large swaths of the Democratic Party. Not every Democrat, large swaths of the upper elite of the Democratic Party believe exactly what Ta-Nehisi Coates believes. Huge swaths of the left in Europe believe what Ta-Nehisi Coates believe. So Ta-Nehisi Coates, just so that you know who he is and the reason why he's important, again, this is a person who's considered perhaps the leading intellectual light of the left in the United States, for sure. And Ta-Nehisi Coates, he was questioned, as we say, on CBS News because he has a new book out called The Message. And this book, The Message, is basically just a rabid screed about how evil Israel is. Now, prior to that, he'd used the same exact worldview to talk about how evil the United States is. But the thing that's setting people's hair on fire is what he said in an interview with former alleged comedian Trevor Noah. So here he was justifying the October 7th attacks and saying that were he a Palestinian, he himself might have entered Israel and slaughtered men, women, children, engaged in rape. Who knows? Here is Ta-Nehisi Coates explaining.
And I haven't said this out loud, but I think about it a lot. Well, I, 20 years old, born into Gaza, which is a giant open-air jail. And what I mean by that is if my father is a fisherman and he goes too far out into the sea, he might get shot by somebody off of, you know, the side of Israeli boats. If my mother picks the olive trees and she gets too close to the wall, she might be shot. If my little sister has, you know, cancer and she needs treatment because there are no, you know, facilities to do that in Gaza and I don't get the right permit, she might die. And I grow up under that oppression and that poverty, and the wall comes down. Am I also strong enough or even constructed in such a way where I say, this is too far? I don't know that I am.
Okay, and they are sitting there nodding. as though he has said something deep. So first of all, put aside the lies. Put aside the idea that Israel is somehow keeping cancer-ridden children in Gaza for no reason. There are several dozen hospitals in Gaza. Most of them were used as fronts by Hamas. Billions of dollars flow into the Gaza Strip, and they are used entirely by Hamas in order to build up terror facilities. But it is also true that many of the people who were slaughtered in the Gaza envelope by Hamas were people who literally made it their daily business to drive people with cancer from Gaza to Israeli hospitals. In fact, Yahya Sinwar, the leader of Hamas, was in jail, and the Israelis treated him for brain cancer, healed him, and then released him. When he's talking about people being shot for picking olive trees. No, if you get too close to the no man's land in the border area and you refuse to obey orders, then you are taking risk in your own hand. Put aside all of that. Listen to the simple insanity of what he is saying. He is justifying the massacres of October 7th because they are the quote-unquote victims. We'll get to more on that in just a second. Today, members of the pro-life community might face imprisonment and millions of dollars in fines, but pro-abortion activists continue their attacks. Not only has the left exponentially increased their efforts to extinguish the lives of the unborn, they've also launched efforts to undermine those who are trying to defend those same unborn children. The fate of a fetus is even grimmer than ever. More and more babies never get that chance at life. Yet amid this darkness, there is a way to help defend life through the incredible work of Preborn's network of clinics. When you support Preborn, you provide love and life to mothers in crisis and at-risk babies. Showing these moms their child through ultrasound can double a baby's chance at life. Each life-saving ultrasound costs just $28. However, Preborn cannot continue this vital work without us, the pro-life community. Please consider giving your best gift today and sponsoring as many ultrasounds as you can. All gifts are tax-deductible. To donate securely, dial #250 and say keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. Preborn.com/Ben. Give generously and thank you. Now, to understand why this matters for America, you have to understand that this is not about Israel for Ta-Nehisi Coates. It's about something far deeper. And when he is justifying terrorism, what he's really doing is saying that if you're a member of a victim class, a class that he, as a self-appointed prophet, gets to define, if you are a member of a victim class, you have the right, nay, perhaps the obligation, to engage in full-scale violence and terrorism. What Ta-Nehisi Coates says there about Gazan civilians crossing the border and engaging in rape, murder, slaughter of children, what he says there could very easily be applied to the slaughter of white Americans under his own worldview, under his own rubric. And he's been very clear about this. He is not exactly hiding the ball. And this is the amazing thing. There's nothing new here, by the way. Jean-Paul Sartre, who's a ridiculous communist French philosopher who was taken seriously for half a century by nitwit liberals, wrote the exact same thing in his introduction to a book called The Wretched of the Earth by Frantz Fanon, in which he suggested that the West should essentially accept violence upon itself from third world peoples in order to expiate its own sins of colonialism. That's what Ta-Nehisi Coates believes. If you're a member of a victim class, you should be able to do violence to people who are members of the quote-unquote victimizer class. And again, anybody who's a member of a quote-unquote victim class, according to Ta-Nehisi Coates, has literally no agency. And if you're a member of a victimizer class, according to Ta-Nehisi Coates, you deserve violence to be done to you and your children. And again, this is part of a broader worldview that applies to the United States. And this is the part that's so sick about what's happening in the United States. This worldview has been taken into the bones of the left. This used to be a fringe crazy town worldview. Jean-Paul Sartre was not representative of the party of, say, Hubert Humphrey in the United States in 1968. But Ta-Nehisi Coates is a lauded, celebrated, champagne-drenched intellectual in the pages of The Atlantic. He is treated as though he has something important to say. So I want to trace his ideology a little bit here, because then you'll understand that what he's saying about Israel is really not about Israel at all. So he comes out with a book called Between the World and Me. That book comes out in the year 2015, right in the middle of the racial reckoning, right? Because after all, Ferguson happened in 2014. And this is his worldview, Ta-Nehisi Coates. Okay, he says about experiencing, his big example of experiencing racism in the United States is that one time he was on an elevator and someone said something to his child, and this was a telescoping of all America's racist history into an incident on an elevator in New York. Okay, here's what he writes in Between the World and Me. Quote, as we came off, you were moving at the dawdling speed of a small child. The whole book is written as a letter to his child. As we came off, you were moving at the dawdling speed of a small child. A white woman pushed you and said, come on. Many things now happened at once. There was the reaction of any parent when a stranger lays a hand on the body of his or her child. And there was my own insecurity and my ability to protect your black body and more. There was my sense that this woman was pulling rank. I knew, for instance, that she would not have pushed a black child out on my part of Flatbush because she would be afraid there and would sense, if not know, that there would be a penalty for such an action. But I was not out on my part of Flatbush, and I was not in West Baltimore, and I was far from the Mecca. The Mecca is what he suggests is sort of the racial utopia. I forgot all of that. I was only aware that someone had invoked their right over the body of my son. I turned and spoke to this woman, and my words were hot with all of the moment and all of my history. So first of all, the overall purple writing is beyond. But understand the incident that is the supposed inciting incident for his realization about race in America. He's on an elevator with his child, and a white woman is irritated the kid isn't moving fast enough in New York, a place of the rude. He immediately telescopes all of America's terrible, evil racial history into this incident. It never occurs to him that maybe the lady's just rude. Never occurs to him that maybe she's in a hurry because she has a reason to be in a hurry. No, it's all of America is racist and evil. And you can find that out by looking into the eyes of another person and never asking them a question. Because Ta-Nehisi Coates, as an incredibly rich and celebrated author, is a victim. And that white lady in the elevator was a victimizer, a racial victimizer, not just a victimizer of the child by being rude, a victimizer in a class sense. She's a member of a victimizer class. So what does that mean for Ta-Nehisi Coates? It means, for example, that he doesn't give a shit about 9/11. Hey, he actually says this in Between the World and Me. It is beyond comprehension that this country grants the worldview of people like Ta-Nehisi Coates any time of day at all, let alone making this person a celebrated author. He's a moral imbecile. But that's too kind, because imbecility suggests that stupidity lies at the root of this. It's not imbecility. It is malign evil, the worldview that Ta-Nehisi Coates expresses. By the way, this is nothing new. I've been saying this for a decade. Everybody else just catching up. Here is what he says about 9/11. This is about, by the way, firefighters and police officers on 9/11. Because remember, America is a racialist, evil country in which there's a white supremacist class and then victim classes. And he's a member of the victim class. So he talks in his book about 9/11. And he's talking about the firefighters and police officers who were turned to ash. Quote, they were not human to me. Black, white, or whatever. They were menaces of nature. They were the fire, the comet, the storm, which could, with no justification, shatter my body. Now, he uses, throughout his writing, the term body, because he believes, I assume, that if he says body as opposed to me, then this makes it have more import, because now it's all about the physical being of black people or something. In reality, it is just a cheap way of trying to buy literary cred. But he then explains in an interview with New York Magazine that same year that the death of one particular black person at the hands of police so alienated Coates, this is New York Magazine, that when he watched 9/11 slightly stoned on the roof of his Brooklyn building, he recalls that he felt nothing at all. You must always remember, Coates writes to his child, that the sociology, the history, the economics, the graphs, the charts, the regressions all land with great violence upon the body. This is the setting up of a victim class that is then justified in doing literally anything. He feels nothing about 9/11, nothing. Think, let me just express something to you. If you feel nothing about 9/11 on 9/11, you should not be in the United States. It is that simple. You do not belong in the West. If you feel nothing about 9/11, the gravest act of evil of my lifetime, you don't deserve to be here. You don't deserve to be living off the fruits of the civilization that you are currently leeching off of, which is what Ta-Nehisi Coates is. He is a scavenger. He is a leech on the body of civilization, of Western civilization. We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first, well, folks, they are pandering and pandering away because election season is in full swing and the future is on everybody's mind. But do you know what else should be on your mind? The future of your family. No matter what happens over the next 4 years, one thing remains constant, the need to protect your loved ones. That's where Policy Genius comes in. Let's talk about reality for a moment. If something were to happen to you, would your family be able to cover their expenses? Mortgage payments, college tuition, daily living costs? Those don't just disappear. Life insurance can ensure your family has the financial support they need, even if you're not there to provide it. Did you know that 41% of Americans don't have the life insurance coverage they need? Don't be part of that statistic. Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. They help you find the right life insurance policy at the best price, so you can have peace of mind knowing your family is protected. Now, I know what you're thinking. Ben, getting life insurance sounds like a hassle. Well, it isn't, because with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options are 100% online and let you avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius makes it super easy. Their licensed support team helps you get what you need fast. They answer questions, they handle paperwork, they advocate for you throughout the process. Save time, save money, providing a financial safety net for your family. Head to policygenius.com/Shapiro or click the link in the description. Get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com/Shapiro. All right, coming up, more on Ta-Nehisi Coates' perverse worldview. This is Ben Shapiro Show.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Join us as we celebrate a milestone in American history, the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Mark your calendars for November 10th at the Wind River Event Center, where everyone is invited to honor the Marines in style. The celebration kicks off with a march to colors featuring the Jefferson Pipes and Drums as we pay tribute to our oldest and youngest Marines. This unforgettable evening includes a delicious dinner, birthday cake, and dancing. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. That's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. Again, that's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. We can't wait to celebrate with you on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. See you there.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive, and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Ta-Nehisi Coates is the toast of the town. He also happens to be a moral pervert. In that same book, he talks about his generalized worldview. He talks about slavery reparations. There's an article in 2014 that really sort of exploded him on the scene. It was this terrible article for The Atlantic about slavery reparations. And we were all supposed to pretend that it was deep. It was really, really not deep. It was incredibly stupid. Basically, the idea was America is a terrible racial place with a terrible racial history. Therefore, black people deserve reparations. He doesn't explain how that would happen. He doesn't explain the pragmatic method by which you would determine whether someone ought to receive reparations or pay reparations. It was simple. Everything to Ta-Nehisi Coates is simple, not because he's a simpleton. I don't think that he's a simpleton, right? It's easy to attribute simplistic ideas to morons. I don't think he's a moron. I think that evil constantly masquerades as simplicity in cases like this. So here is what he says about reparations in Between the World and Me. Quote, in the months before the article was published, I felt that I had at last discovered the answer to the haunting question of why my people so reliably settled at the bottom of nearly every socioeconomic indicator. The answer was simple. There it is, very simple. The persistence of our want was matched exactly to the persistence of our plunder. I was blessed with a gift, and the gift was not simply the knowledge that they were lying about us, about this country, about themselves, but the proof. Right? That is simple. Failure equals victimization. Group failure equals group victimization. Now, the problem for Ta-Nehisi Coates is that there are an awful lot of members of groups in the United States and elsewhere who have been historically victimized. One of those groups happens to be the Jews, which, as we'll see, is one of the reasons he despises Israel, wants to see it wiped off the planet and justifies October 7th. It turns out that when other victimized groups in history and today succeed, this thwarts his entire victimizer narrative. when it turns out that people of any race act with agency and overcome historic obstacles in order to succeed, it violates his entire worldview, in which victims have no agency and victimizers are necessarily victorious, which means, by the same sort of equation, that everybody who is an achiever is, in fact, a victimizer. And he makes this clear, fast forward 10 years, and you're now in The Message. Okay, The Message is his new book, the one that we are supposed to treat as though it deserves some sort of great moral respect. In this book, he writes, quote, "I remember watching World News Tonight with my father and deriving from him a dull sense that the Israelis were white and the Palestinians were black, which is to say that the former were the oppressors and the latter the oppressed." It's the exact same language, right? Same exact language with reparations, 9/11, with Israel. It's very simple. Victim equals black. Victimizer equals white. Israelis successful equal white. Palestinians failure as a group in terms of economic and socioeconomic status equals black. That simple, according to Ta-Nehisi. And there's one other element. Victim means you now get to do whatever you want to do to anyone else. Literally anything. Rape, murder, baby slaughter. You get to do it. You're fully justified. Everything is Nat Turner's rebellion. So he says about Israel, quote, "I don't think I ever in my life felt the glare of racism burn stronger and more intense than in Israel. There are aspects I found familiar. The light-skinned Palestinians who speak of passing, the black and Arab Jews whose stories could have been staged in Atlanta instead of Tel Aviv. But for most of my time there, I felt like I was outside the crosshairs. The attitude in the hotel, for instance, was less N-word get out and more, what the F are you doing here?" So again, he is just telescoping Jim Crow onto Israel, which is absurd since 20% of the Israeli population is Arab. Half of Israeli Jews are from Arab countries and therefore not white in any technical sense. Doesn't matter. He's got the model. Everything has to fit inside the model. Now, why is this important? The reason it's important is because Ta-Nehisi Coates, as a lauded intellectual, is not actually just speaking for himself. He is representative of a much broader contingent in the American left, as evidenced by the fact that Trevor Noah is sitting there and nodding at him. So Trevor Noah, who had a show for years on Comedy Central where I'm not sure he ever told an actual joke, he not only does he sit there and nod at Ta-Nehisi Coates as he says these truly evil things, he then explains that October 7th is basically like the American Revolution, which is strange since George Washington and the colonials did not, in fact, travel to Britain, slaughter babies in their crib, rape every British woman they could find. Strange. The moral insanity of these people. But again, I hesitate to say insanity because I don't actually think they're insane. I think they're quite sane. They're just evil. Here's Trevor Noah being evil.
If you remove every context from everything, then everything could go anywhere. You know what I mean? Right. If you remove America's history and America's journey, America's this, then it's like, yeah, those people who fought against the British, they were terrorists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? You can call it like, the Boston Tea Party. That's terrorism.
Okay, so we are now back to one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. This was an argument actually made by people like Michael Moore during the insurgency in Iraq. This has been a deep-rooted part of left-wing ideology for a very long time, that the West is evil. Anyone who attacks the West is then necessarily victimized by the West and good. And here's the thing. It is indistinguishable in many ways from the ideology of somebody like Barack Obama, who is actually president of the United States. I'll read you a quote. This is a quote from either Ta-Nehisi Coates or Barack Obama. You choose. Quote, "I know, I have seen the desperation and disorder of the powerless, how it twists the lives of children on the streets of Jakarta or Nairobi, how easily they slip into violence and despair." He compares those, by the way, to the south side of Chicago. That would be Barack Obama. Indistinguishable from the words of Ta-Nehisi Coates. You see, all those kids in Indonesia or in Kenya, exactly the same south side of Chicago or in the Gaza Strip, these are all members of a victim class. These are all members of a victim class, according to Barack Obama. Okay, that ideology is spread throughout the Democratic Party and throughout our legacy media, which is why it is now emerging, for example, that apparently 2023, CBS News informed people, informed its own journalists, that you should not, under any circumstances, use the term terrorism to actually describe what happened on October 7th, literally the day after, literally the day after. Okay, quote, this is from CBS News. You wonder why CBS News is treating Ta-Nehisi Coates with kid gloves? Because they agree with him. This came, email, October 8th, 2023, quote, "Reporting on this weekend's violence in Israel and Gaza requires a closer look at the language we use when describing events. For instance, the U.S. government considers Hamas a terrorist organization. However, suggesting an individual is a terrorist may be inaccurate depending on the facts. There are some who believe the attack by Hamas is a justified retaliation to Israeli occupation of their lands. Others believe this to be an unprovoked attack on Israel, and as such, Israel has every right to defend itself." That's an email from CBS News. Who knows? Who knows? Perhaps the mass rape, slaughter, murder of babies, perhaps all of that is just a justified attack. The language of Ta-Nehisi Coates, the language of Barack Obama, victim, victimizer. That's all. That's the entire narrative. And it's something bought into by Barack Obama. It's something that's bought into by Kamala Harris as well, by the way. Back in 2019, 2020, she was much clearer about this. Now she's trying to obfuscate. But she came out, if you remember, back in 2019 in favor of slavery reparations. She said, quote, we had over 200 years of slavery. We had Jim Crow for almost a century. We had legalized discrimination, segregation. We have to recognize that everybody did not start out on an equal footing in this country. And in particular, black people have not. All right, coming up, Kamala Harris, her worldview mirrors that of Ta-Nehisi Coates or Barack Obama. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, this is Carlin in DeBot. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals. And the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
It's fall, y'all, and that means pumpkin flavors are here. Get on over to Black Bear Diner and get your fill of everyone's favorite sweet cream pancakes, drizzled with pumpkin pie sauce and topped with whipped cream and maple syrup. Visit Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Interested in becoming a nurse? The Shasta College Associate Degree Nursing Program invites you October 14th at 5:30 p.m. for an information session where you'll learn about application requirements and the multi-criteria selection process. For the Zoom link and a preview of the information to be reviewed, visit shastacollege.edu.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
Join us as we celebrate a milestone in American history, the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Mark your calendars for November 10th at the Wind River Event Center, where everyone is invited to honor the Marines in style. The celebration kicks off with a march to colors featuring the Jefferson Pipes and Drums, as we pay tribute to our oldest and youngest Marines. This unforgettable evening includes a delicious dinner, birthday cake, and dancing. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. That's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. Again, that's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. We can't wait to celebrate with you on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. See you there.
FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM, right here on KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in the Jefferson State of Mind.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Kamala Harris tries to pretend she's moderate. Her worldview looks very much like that of Barack Obama and in much softer form than of Ta-Nehisi Coates. You wonder why Kamala Harris was bailing out rioters in 2020? The reason she was bailing out rioters is because in large scale, she agrees there are victim classes in the United States, and those victim classes have a right to be revengeful on the civilization that houses them. That is the generalized worldview here. It is hideous. It is evil. It is dangerous. And again, it is not in any way anomalous. It is not an anomaly what Ta-Nehisi Coates is saying. There are people across America who actually believe it. They're largely on our college campuses, in the legacy media, in cloistered enclaves in New York City and San Francisco and Los Angeles and Chicago. But that is a very powerful cadre of people who believe that. And it's quite terrible. And it is intolerable for a country that hopes at some point for some level of unity. For a country that wishes to defend itself, for a civilization that is worth defending. By the way, the aftermath of the Ta-Nehisi Coates interview on CBS News, which we've talked about this week, the one where he was questioned by a journalist, the aftermath of that is that CBS News, after that interview between Tony DiJacopo and Coates, they didn't just bring in DiJacopo for a struggle session in front of the entire legacy media staff at CBS News. They then promptly informed all of their journalists they should stop identifying Jerusalem as being part of Israel, despite the fact that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Because, you see, to acknowledge basic facts and truth runs counter. And there are a lot of people today who are saying, well, you know, Ta-Nehisi Coates, he just makes a bunch of factual errors in his book. Those are not errors. He's lying. He doesn't care enough to find out whether it's true or not, because facts are irrelevant. Remember, if you're a member of the victim class, it's not just that you get to rape, murder. And if you're a member of the victim class, according to Ta-Nehisi Coates, you get to lie. Why wouldn't you? After all, it's just a power game. That worldview is evil with a capital E, and we shouldn't forget it. There are lots of disagreements we can have in politics, lots of them in the West. We can disagree about tax rates. We can disagree about the role of government in our lives in terms of subsidies and in terms of regulation. We can disagree in terms of foreign policy, who ought to be backed and to what extent. Those are all rational conversations. What is not a rational conversation is the assumption that if you are a member of a class that Ta-Nehisi Coates deems a victim, you get to participate in evil. And we can tell whether you're a victim in this rubric simply by looking at your level of failure and poverty. That is not a conversation. That is a cudgel. And huge parts of the left are wielding it today. Okay, meanwhile, the Kamala Harris campaign is suffering. They are having a really tough time out there. As we'll see in a moment, they're now trotting out Barack Obama in all of his glory to do this routine. The levels of missteps by this campaign are truly incredible at this point. So if you take a look at the swing states right now. Right now, in the Real Clear Politics polling average nationally, Harris is up a couple of points. But in the swing states, according to the Real Clear Politics polling average, Trump now has a slight lead in Pennsylvania, a bigger lead, actually, in Michigan. He leads in Arizona. He leads in North Carolina. He leads in Georgia. And now remember, all he has to do is win North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, which he's going to win all three of those. And then he has to pick off one of the blue wall states. Right now, he's leading in at least two and perhaps all three. In fact, there's internal polling that President Trump just released. There's a poll conducted by Tony Fabrizio and John McLaughlin, and it found Trump with leads ranging from 1 to 5 percentage points, not only in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, but also in Nevada. According to that internal polling, Trump is leading by 3% in Arizona. He's leading by 5% in Georgia. He's leading by 1% in Michigan. He's leading by 3% in Nevada, 1% in North Carolina, 1% in Pennsylvania, 1% in Wisconsin. Now, again, these are all within margin of error. It's still a very close election, but it is very obvious that the momentum is with the Republicans at this point. The New York Times is now admitting that Republicans are about to gain control of the Senate. And they are. I mean, they're going to gain control of the Senate because Jim Justice is going to win in West Virginia. And Tim Sheehy is going to win in Montana. And then it's just a question of how many swing seats Republicans can pick up. So yesterday, I spent time campaigning with Bernie Moreno in Ohio. Bernie is going to win that Senate seat over Sherrod Brown, who's a terrible senator and has been there longer than I've been alive, picking up taxpayer money. Bernie's a terrific candidate. He's going to win over there. That's going to make 52 for the Republicans. Last week, I was out campaigning in Wisconsin with Eric Hovde. He's going to defeat Tammy Baldwin, I believe, in that race. How do I know? Well, because the last time there was a Wisconsin Senate race where a Republican was even running close, Ron Johnson was running 3 to 5 points behind his opponent and ended up winning that seat. Right now, Hovde is running dead even with Tammy Baldwin. He's got the momentum. I think he wins that race. That takes you to 53. And then you have Dave McCormick. Dave McCormick is, of course, running against Bob Casey in Pennsylvania, running a really tight race there. McCormick is a terrific discipline candidate. I think Dave pulls that one out, too. We'll be campaigning with him a little bit later on. Yeah, to me, it's obviously very important that Republicans take the Senate because, again, the Ta-Nehisi Coates worldview rides strong in the Democratic Party and must be defeated. And my hope is that Republicans end up with something like 54 seats. But even the New York Times is now admitting that Republicans appear poised to take control of the Senate. And the latest polling from the New York Times and Siena College shows Republicans leading by 4 in Texas, that's Cruz over Allred, by 8 in Montana, where Sheehy is blowing out John Tester. Rick Scott is beating Debbie McCarsel Powell by 9 points, according to this same polling. So it looks very much as though Republicans are in control in the Senate races. There is one race that's sort of weird, and that is the reelection bid of Senator Deb Fischer, Republican of Nebraska. She's running against an independent named Dan Osborne, and that one is looking a little tighter than it probably should. But Democrats certainly do not have the momentum at this point in time, and they're basically admitting it. According to Politico, Democrats are deploying prominent black surrogates to Michigan to deliver an urgent plea. Black men, we need you. This is one of the reasons why people like Barack Obama are going back out on the trail. Black turnout for Kamala Harris is not nearly what it was for Barack Obama. For a wide variety of reasons, including the fact that Kamala Harris is running a really anti-male campaign. Black males in particular are not warm to it. They see her as what she is, an upper crust coastal elite who has no connection to their lives or their problems. They are correct in this assessment, by the way. Obama is out there campaigning on behalf of Kamala Harris. And I have to say, the way that he talks to black men, as though membership, again, in the black category means you inherently have to vote for the other black person, is really pretty insulting. It really is. As though all black people have the same experience in the United States or the same ideas in the United States. Blackness is not a religion like Jewishness, right? Judaism has a religious component. You can be a black liberal, you can be a black conservative. It's a color of your skin. But according to Barack Obama, you need to vote for Kamala because Kamala is a member of your victim class.
We have not yet seen the same kinds of energy and turnout in all quarters of our neighborhoods and communities as we saw when I was running. Now, I also want to say that that seems to be more pronounced with the brothers. So if you don't mind, just for a second, I'm going to speak to y'all directly and say that when you have a choice that is this clear, when on the one hand you have somebody who grew up like you, knows you, went to college with you, understands the struggles and pain and joy that comes from those experiences.
Notice that at no point does he actually make an argument that she's going to make your life better or be a good president of the United States. He simply says she's a member of your victim class. If she's a member of your victim class, you better get out there and vote for a member of your victim class. That's why I say, Ta-Nehisi Coates, Barack Obama, separated by some of their lingo, not particularly separated in terms of their worldview. It turns out that's really off-putting. People don't like it very much. It also turns out that you know what's off-putting? The absolute disdain that members of the upper echelon of the Democratic Party have for normies. It really is an amazing thing. They're running a campaign where they need to win a blue wall state. All three of these states are blue collar. All three of these states have probably a higher than average number of, say, Catholics. That's true certainly for Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. And yet, Gretchen Whitmer, who is the awful governor of Michigan, she cut a video yesterday with a podcaster named Liz Plank that if this wasn't what they're going for, I don't know what they're going for. It is pretty clearly a derogatory reference to communion. I'm not sure how else to read this exactly. There have been some attempts to say this is just a meme that's going around, but for those who are not memesters, I mean, you talk about two online. This looks as though Gretchen Whitmer is mocking communion by Liz Plank is on her knees and weird. I mean, this is weird. These people are weird. On her knees, receiving into her mouth a Dorito put into her mouth by Gretchen Whitmer, who's wearing a Harris Walls hat. Now, the disdain for kind of normal people that rolls off the Democratic Party at this point is truly an incredible thing. Here we go. For those who can't see, it's Liz Plank accepting into her mouth, a la communion, a Dorito from Gretchen Whitmer, who's wearing a Harris Walls hat and then nodding into camera. It's like a Dom sub weird thing going on. They are so strange, and they're not just strange. They have disdain for Americans, true disdain for America. I mean, if you're a Catholic and you watch that, I don't know how else you read that, except that Gretchen Whitmer, she ain't hot on the Catholics. The religious symbolism there, pretty obvious, I think, to anyone. Meanwhile, how do you really know the Democrats are in trouble? Tim Walz is out there openly saying they should get rid of the Electoral College. When you are in an active race for the presidency and you say we should dump the Electoral College, you're admitting you're losing. That's what that is. You're admitting that you might win the popular vote and lose the Electoral College vote. That's the only reason you want to dump the Electoral College. You want to change the rules of the game. So here's Tim Walz being made uncomfortable, being asked a tough question about this is how bad journalism has gotten. Apparently, the toughest journalist they could find was Michael Strahan, one of the few people to ask a difficult question of a Democrat during this election cycle.
I want to go back to something you said on Tuesday. You said, I think all of us know the Electoral College needs to go. But the campaign came out later that night, and they said that's not their stance. Yeah.
Well, it's not the campaign's position. And the point I'm trying to make is that there's folks that feel every vote must count in every state. Mm-hmm. And I think some of folks feel that's not the case. Our campaign does that. And the point I'm saying is, I mean, five states in 2 days, we're out there making the case that the campaign's position is clear, that that's not their position. Their position and my position is to make sure that everybody understands their vote, no matter what state they're in, matters.
So that's something that you and Vice President Harris disagree on?
I have spoken about it in the past that she's been very clear on this, and the campaign and my position is the campaign's position.
Yeah, so there he is trying to walk it back. Well, he is a numbskull, as he has declared himself. We'll get to more on that in just a second, but first, football season is heating up, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action while watching football. With over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to everyone. The app is really simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 100 times your money. Prize Picks even invented the flex play, so you can still cash out if one of your picks doesn't hit. Producer Jake loves to use Prize Picks, whether it's watching football, basketball, or baseball. Producer Jake always seems to be getting in on the action and making the right picks. In fact, if he does any better, he might not work here anymore. He's just going to buy himself a suite at the St. Regis or something. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code Shapiro and get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code Shapiro on Prize Picks to get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it is lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Again, Prize Picks, it's a blast to use. Check it out as football season heats up. Plenty of picks to make. Download that Prize Picks app today. Use code Shapiro. Get $50 of credit instantly when you play $5. All right, coming up, Barack Obama joins the campaign trail. He is so off-putting. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. But that's not all. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close and all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. Support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you will find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. And it's election season, so don't forget to vote.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Barack Obama's out there on the campaign trail, hoping to create enthusiasms for Kamala Harris. He's trying to convince young black men to vote for Kamala Harris. He did that by going to some sort of event and then telling them they need to vote for Kamala Harris because she's black and they're black, so vote for her. He also suggested, of course, they might be sexist, and that's the reason they're really not voting for her, that if she were black male, maybe they'd vote for her, but she's black female and they're misogynist. So we'll see how that works out for him. He also went on the campaign trail and then proceeded to be himself. And I got to tell you, the power of Barack Obama is non-transferable. He himself is popular. He has never shown any aptitude for transferring that popularity to anyone who's not named Barack Obama, which is why over the course of his presidency, he lost a dozen governorships, he lost a ton of Senate seats, he lost an enormous number of House seats and state legislatures all over the country. It turns out that the backlash to Barack Obama did not come in the form of a direct electoral backlash to Obama himself. It came in the form of, you know, a backlash to his entire party. So he's out there being himself, and it's not, I don't think it's particularly great for Kamala Harris, frankly. So first, he tries to claim Trump's economy as his own, which is pretty amazing. Right? So you can't have it both ways. Either Donald Trump's economy sucked and he shouldn't be president, or Donald Trump's economy was awesome and he should be president. Obama seems to want to have it both ways. He seems to want to say that Donald Trump's economy was bad, but also it was great, which is why it actually was not Donald Trump's. It was Barack Obama's. Try to follow the big brain logic here from Barack Obama.
The reason some people think, well, I don't know, I remember that economy when he first came in being pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty good, because it was my economy. We had had 75 straight months of job growth that I handed over to him. It wasn't something he did. I had spent 8 years cleaning up the mess that the Republicans had left me the last time.
Okay, so I just want to get this straight. If that's the case, that the next president owns the economy of the last president, so, you know, the last president is responsible for the successes, how do you tap Biden's record? Quick, answer me that. So if, according to Barack Obama, Donald Trump's early economic record is because of Barack Obama, then what about Joe Biden touting his economic record? Is that also because of Donald Trump? Like, how does that work exactly? He's so arrogant, and he's so egocentric. It really is quite terrible. And then he told some jokes about how Donald Trump is selling Bibles or something. Again, here's the thing about Barack Obama. If you're going to do the Donald Trump is a con man because he's selling Bibles, you probably should have some respect for the actual Bible, which they think Barack Obama most certainly does not. There's not a single aspect of biblical morality that Barack Obama really, truly believes.
Constant attempts to sell you stuff. Who does that? Selling you gold sneakers and a $100,000 watch and most recently a Trump Bible. He wants you to buy the Word of God, Donald Trump edition. He got his name right there next to Matthew and Luke. I mean, you could not make this stuff up. If you saw it on Saturday Night Live, you'd say, well, no, that's going too far. No, he's doing that.
Well, I mean, at least Donald Trump's fans want to buy the Bible, as opposed to fans of Barack Obama who apparently want to discard it entirely. This is a guy who called people who believe in God and the Bible bitter clingers. So, yeah, forgive me if I don't take your newfound biblical respect all that seriously. And then, of course, Barack Obama roasted Trump, suggesting that he has to change his own diapers because Donald Trump is, of course, really old, which is weird because 5 seconds ago he was saying Joe Biden was the best candidate for president. By the way, Joe Biden's still the president.
I remember buying diapers. I remember the first time I went in the store. Right after Malia was born, I was like, what? That's how much diapers cost? I remember changing diapers. You think Donald Trump ever changed a diaper?
No! No chance!
Yeah. I almost said that, but I decided I shouldn't say it.
he's so awful. He's truly so awful. It is amazing that he was a two-term president in the United States, but, you know, it was under Barack Obama that the country really started to come apart. In any case, the Biden-Harris-Walls campaign, it's all one big blob at this point. They continue to fail on every front. And everyone can see that they continue to fail on every front. It is amazing how Joe Biden, who's currently president of the United States, is looking for someone else to blame on the lackluster performance by FEMA in the face of two separate hurricanes. So Joe Biden is now out there saying that Donald Trump is un-American for how he's talking about Joe Biden's efforts on hurricane relief, which is weird because I remember the entire Democratic Party suggesting that George W. Bush was a vicious racist during Hurricane Katrina.
Well, we're providing now to make sure people have the emergency relief they need, the dollars just to be able to get a prescription filled, to get a baby formula done. All the things, that $750 that you're talking about, that Mr. Trump and all those other people know, it's a lie to suggest that's all they're going to get. That's bizarre. It's bizarre. They got to stop this. They're being so damn un-American with the way they're talking about this stuff. But there's going to be a need for significant amounts of money. We're already underway at trying to calculate what the cost will be because you don't want to mislead anybody. You want to make sure all the costs are able to be covered.
I don't want to hear about people calling each other un-American from this guy. This guy who stood in front of Independence Hall and suggested that all of his political opponents were dire threats to the exact fabric of the United States. It's incredible. Then, of course, Joe Biden suggested that the reasons for lack of funding by FEMA with all due speed, that's because Congress needs to allocate more money.
On FEMA funding, how much time does Congress have to act before FEMA or the SBA run out of money?
That's in discussion now. I don't want to give you a mislead you. I think in terms of the SBA, it's pretty right at the edge right now. And I think the Congress should be coming back and moving on emergency needs immediately. And they're going to have to come back after the election as well. Because this is going to be a long haul for total rebuilding. It's going to take several billion dollars. It's not going to be a matter of just a little bit.
Okay, so apparently he needs more money, right? Only one problem. He doesn't, actually. It turns out that there's still about $11 billion in FEMA disaster funding that has been allocated. According to Politico, it was the Congress of the United States just last month that actually allocated $20.3 billion for FEMA relief. Okay, FEMA has now spent about $9 billion of that. Well, I mean, that leaves, by my calculation, you know, like $11 billion you guys have not allocated yet. That's a lot of money. So you might want to allocate that now. Congress can come back in 2 weeks and refill the fund. That's what Speaker Johnson is saying, and he's correct.
Was it a mistake to leave and adjourn the Congress for the campaign trail without addressing more disaster relief funding given the circumstances that we now find ourselves in?
Well, the fact is, I think many people have not fully understood, is that we did address it, and we did appropriate $20 billion additional dollars to FEMA with early drawdown authority. So they're sitting on a giant pile of cash, and they haven't used it yet.
He is right about that, of course. All righty, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here with much, much more on Monday. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. One person is dead and 12 are rescued after an elevator malfunction at the Colorado Gold Mine tourist site. The elevator was descending into the Molly Kathleen Gold Mine near the town of Cripple Creek when it had a mechanical problem around 500 feet beneath the surface. Teller County Sheriff Jason Mikesell said on KRDO-TV, engineers inspecting it to be certain it could bring up the remaining tourists.
Once they were able to identify that there were no other issues that could cause a problem with the equipment, they were able to lower it back down without anyone in it and then bring it back up to make sure that it was going to run correctly. And then we decided on a plan to go ahead and do that, bring them back up.
Also at townhall.com, FEMA is being increasingly criticized by national and local leaders over its inadequate relief efforts for victims of Hurricane Milton and Helene. On the Salem Media Group news program this week on the Hill with Tony Perkins, House Speaker Mike Johnson says complaints about FEMA are justified because private citizens and charity organizations are doing much more to help survivors.
The private sector, neighbors, communities, churches, the nonprofit organizations like Samaritan's Purse set the bar on this. I mean, I was in Florida and devastation of Helene. I was in North Carolina. Samaritan's Purse is doing, by my review, far more work and far better and more efficient work than the government itself, and that's very telling.
He adds that Washington bureaucrats who dropped the ball on hurricane relief will pay a price in next month's elections. Speaker Johnson's full interview can be heard tomorrow morning on This Week on the Hill, which also will be broadcast at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Salem News Channel later today. The Lebanese army says that Israeli airstrike killed two of its soldiers and wounded three others, an incident that further entangled Lebanon's official army in the escalating conflict between Israel and Iran-backed Hezbollah. Boeing announcing layoffs, the giant aircraft maker saying Friday, laying off about 10% of its workers, about 17,000 people, in the coming months. More at townhall.com.
If you just grin and bear it or bite the bullet when it comes to everyday pain, don't. Try Relief Factor, a drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain, it helps reduce or even eliminate it. It's 100% drug-free, it's developed by doctors. In 3 weeks or less, you'll know whether it works for you like it works for me. Try Relief Factor for yourself. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF.
From the best-selling author of Wonder and the creators of Jesus Revolution comes White Bird.
I'm sure your father has told you stories about when I was a young girl.
Hope can lift you.
You stay with us, okay?
Courage can save you.
You're the greatest person I've ever met.
Love can free you.
When kindness can cost you your life, it becomes like a miracle.
From the director of Finding Neverland, White Bird. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters now. Tickets and showtimes at whitebird.movie.
Hurricane victims who let their flood insurance lapse and then got hit by the hurricanes may be able to renew it. Special correspondent Lisa Dwyer explains.
Residents in states hit by Hurricane Helene who had coverage through the federal flood insurance program but let it lapse may be able to renew and still be covered from the storm's impact. Certain policyholders in seven states affected by Helene now have extra time to renew. Usually, people with policies in the National Flood Insurance Program get a 30-day grace period to renew policies after they expire and still be covered. The agency is extending that grace period until November 26. Congress created the Federal Flood Insurance Program more than 50 years ago when many private insurers stopped offering policies in high-risk areas. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
You'll find breaking news and analysis, more on these stories, and more headlines at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. Hurricane Milton's rampage is not swaying House Republican leaders who oppose returning to Washington to approve billions of dollars for disaster assistance.
President Joe Biden on Thursday said lawmakers should return to Capitol Hill immediately from their pre-election recess, echoing pleas from both Republican and Democratic lawmakers from the afflicted states. But despite questions about the solvency of the Federal Emergency Management Agency's disaster fund, House Speaker Mike Johnson and top appropriators insist the agency can manage just fine with the $20.3 billion that Congress freed up for it late last month. Biden has largely backed statements from FEMA officials saying the agency has the resources needed to support recovery efforts after Helene and Milton. Even in a letter he wrote to congressional leaders Friday, Biden's request was for action, quote, after the Congress comes back into session on November 12th. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
The latest solar storm has triggered northern lights farther south than normal, including parts of Germany, the United Kingdom, New England, and New York City. There's no immediate reports of disruptions of power from Thursday's storm. More at Town Hall.
It's fall, y'all, and that means pumpkin flavors are here. Get on over to Black Bear Diner and get your fill of everyone's favorite sweet cream pancakes, drizzled with pumpkin pie sauce and topped with whipped cream and maple syrup. Visit Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Gran Habanos Corojo No. 5, with the unusual shaggy foot. Offering two distinct experiences, Corojo No. 5 comes from Honduras with Nicaraguan, Mexican, and Costa Rican tobaccos, finished off with a spicy Nicaraguan Corojo wrapper leaf for a heavy and rich smoke. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Today, Matt Walsh Show, one of the top public schools in the country, sold its blueprints and everything else to the communist Chinese government. This raises a couple of questions. First, how is that legal? Second, why did the school's whole program get shipped over except the DEI stuff? Also, the governor of Michigan appears in a bizarre TikTok video that appears to mock the Catholic faith. A new ad meant to persuade men to vote for Kamala is having very much the opposite effect. Elon Musk unveils the fleet of robots that will take over the world and enslave us all. And the new Joker movie may wind up being one of the worst flops in Hollywood history. What exactly went wrong and why? We'll talk about all that and more today on The Matt Walsh Show. A couple of weeks ago, Kamala Harris's campaign went after me because I said that the Department of Education, along with the public school system, should be burned to the ground, figuratively speaking. Kamala's campaign didn't make any kind of argument refuting my position, of course. They just suggested that what I said was crazy because how can you possibly have a functioning country without a Department of Education? You know, it's not like we invented the telephone and won two world wars or landed on the moon without a Department of Education or anything. We definitely need a Department of Education to do all of that stuff, even though we did that stuff without the department. And I responded to Kamala Harris's campaign outlining all the reasons why the Department of Education and our public school system are a complete disaster. What I didn't talk about at the time, and what almost no one ever talks about in this country, is what the alternative is. You know, it's one thing to point out failures. It's another thing to suggest tangible improvements. What does it look like to have political leaders who actually care about the education system of their country? And want to make it as good as it can possibly be? What should those leaders be doing exactly? Well, this week, thanks to reporting from the National Review and the Daily Wire's Luke Rosiak, we know what they've been doing in China anyway. Turns out that officials in China are very serious about improving their education system to the point that they've effectively cloned the Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology in Fairfax County, Virginia. Now, if you're not familiar with it, Thomas Jefferson, until recently, was the number one public high school in the United States. In China, they now have 20 so-called Thomas schools, all of which are exact replicas of the Thomas Jefferson School in Fairfax. These Chinese Thomas school clones have copied pretty much everything from the Thomas Jefferson School in the U.S., including curriculums and floor plans. So say what you will about China, but, you know, they're in this to win. They're playing for keeps. And they're willing to steal from their opponents if necessary, just like, say, Bill Belichick or the Houston Astros. Except in this case, there wasn't actually much stealing involved. It turns out, interestingly enough, that Thomas Jefferson handed all of this information over to China voluntarily. The story of how exactly China managed to clone Thomas Jefferson raises a lot of obvious concerns from a national security perspective. And, you know, the word treason might even cross your mind as you hear the details. I'll get into that in a second. But first, it's important to note that there's one aspect of our Thomas Jefferson School that's here in this country that China did not copy. They did not clone Thomas Jefferson's new DEI admissions policy, which was implemented a few years ago. This DEI admissions policy got rid of standardized tests. It also gave bonuses to applicants who couldn't speak proper English and implemented a quota system so that every middle school in Fairfax County got an equal number of slots in the new class at Thomas Jefferson. The result, unsurprisingly, is that student quality has dropped by nearly 40% as measured by the number of national merit semifinalists that Thomas Jefferson produces. So Thomas Jefferson is no longer the top public high school in the U.S. It was too exceptional, too impressive, so the liberals running Fairfax County and the administrators of the school decided that they had to fix that by destroying it. And that's exactly what they've done with the DEI policies. But before they ruined it, they raised a lot of money from the Communist Party of China. From 2014 to 2021, entities in China sent more than $3.5 million to something called the Thomas Jefferson Partnership Fund. This is a nonprofit that was set up to raise money for a renovation of Thomas Jefferson. The nonprofit was based in the school and had the school principal on its board, so there's obviously a very close relationship there. And what did China get in exchange for this $3.5 million? When we first learned about these payments around a year ago, we didn't have a lot of detail on that question. So here's what we knew last year. This is a report from last year. Watch.
Fairfax County Public Schools, which are known for pushing critical race theory and lessons on children's sexual identity, are reportedly taking big donations from organizations with ties to China. Marianne Rafferty has all of the details live from Los Angeles. Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning, Ashley. Well, that Fairfax County school, Thomas Jefferson High School, launched the fund Campaign for TJ back in 2014 to pay for educational programs, but a chunk of the money raised came from Chinese-connected donors, including a university in Beijing. That's according to a report from the group Parents Defending Education. Some of that money is going toward programs like college prep. Last month, parents of eighth graders received an email recruiting kids who might be interested in going to college, but the catch is it's only open to Black or Hispanic students, those with disabilities or other criteria. The curriculum doesn't mention admission to any students who are either white or Asian.
So we learned that there were payments coming into Fairfax from China, but we didn't know exactly what they were for, and now we do. According to the National Review, in addition to course materials and outlines, Chinese officials wanted to learn about construction and administration at the school, as well as extensive advice on how to manage a school like Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson's director of student services even wrote in an email that the Chinese wanted a handbook that would tell them how to clone the school, including research output from students. Quoting from the National Review, quote, foreign donations came with a few requests that Thomas Jefferson nonprofit hand over blueprints, floor plans, curricula, lab photographs, and thumb drives with senior student research projects. Chinese officials requested and gained access to examples of past student research projects without student consent. Now, maybe the Chinese wanted these senior research projects because they involved materials that students created alongside the leading research institutes in the U.S., including the NIH and George Washington University. So there are obvious espionage-related implications here as well. Now, to be clear, there's no question that senior leaders at Thomas Jefferson were aware that all this was going on. There's even an email from Thomas Jefferson's assistant principal in which he says that the nonprofit has a contract with a Chinese foundation, quote, that they will pay $1 million in exchange for help getting their schools up and running in China called the Thomas Schools. And some of these Chinese officials also visited the school. On top of that, there's evidence that the Fairfax County Public School System tried to cover up what it was doing. The group that actually uncovered this scheme and which led to the National Review's reporting is called Parents Defending Education, or PDE. And they spent more than a year working on the story. It only took so long because of all the roadblocks that Fairfax County put in their way. When PDE made a public records request seeking information about the school's coordination with China, Fairfax County tried to charge them nearly $36,000 in fees in order to produce the documents. And they probably expected that that would scare PDE off, but it didn't work. The group ended up paying $18,000 for some of the documents, which ultimately exposed what was going on. Now, the word treason gets thrown around a lot these days, and there's a lot of discussion about how difficult it is to prove treason under the U.S. Constitution and so on. But if we're speaking certainly in the colloquial sense of the word, this seems a lot like treason. These people were orchestrating the sale of proprietary information to China to benefit Chinese schools while simultaneously kneecapping our own schools with DEI admissions policies. They didn't sell those DEI admissions policies to China because everybody involved knows that they're garbage and China would have no interest. They're worse than useless. And the proponents of DEI themselves seem to recognize that, at least when it comes time to make some money from the Chinese Communist Party. The whole scam is reminiscent of how Chinese billionaires will promote transgenderism in the U.S., but not in China. It's deliberate sabotage from the people running the single most successful school district in the U.S. In Fairfax County, which also, by the way, houses CIA headquarters and much of the intelligence community, along with the workforce at the Pentagon, the former president of Thomas Jefferson, Evan Glazer, even suggested that he didn't think twice about giving inside info to our chief foreign adversary because it would be racist to discriminate based on national origin. But when it comes to discriminating against students using affirmative action admissions policies, school administrators in Fairfax have no objection to that, of course. Now, there have been a lot of parents speaking out at school board meetings over the past few years. They've been complaining about the poor quality of their children's education since many schools are now graduating students who can barely even read. Parents have also been understandably furious about the deliberate efforts to indoctrinate their children with gender ideology, to expose them to explicit pornography in some cases. And some of those parents, as you might remember, were investigated by the DOJ because they just, wanted to ensure that their children had an actual education. Meanwhile, we're allowing China to copy the blueprint of our most successful schools, and the DOJ hasn't said a word about it. You won't find a clear illustration of why our entire education system is in a tailspin. Right now, the government officials who are truly interested in our education system are not located in Washington. They probably aren't working for your local school board either. Thanks to the work of Parents Defending Education, we know that, unfortunately for children in this country, those officials are in Beijing. We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Experience fall family fun at this year's Turtle Bay Oktoberfest, happening Saturday, October 12th, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here at Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp. Enjoy local breweries, food, live music, animals, games, and more. Oktoberfest-themed costumes are encouraged. Each ticket includes your first beer or root beer for the kids. Presented by Liquor Barn and Sasquatch Car Wash. So join us Saturday, October 12th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. for Turtle Bay's Oktoberfest. Grab tickets today at turtlebay.org.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday State right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show.
This ad has gone viral. This is not an official Kamala campaign ad. As far as I can tell, this was made by supporters of Kamala. But also, as far as I can tell, it's not meant to be a parody. So this is not a conservative parody of liberals. This is made by liberals to promote Kamala Harris. When you watch this, you'll have the same thought. It's always the distinction between parody and reality, satire and reality, of course, is increasingly difficult to determine. But this is sincere, and this is supposed to be an ad encouraging men to vote for Kamala Harris. Here it is.
I'm a man.
I'm a man.
I'm a man, man. And I'm man enough.
I'm man enough to enjoy a barrel-proof bourbon.
Meat.
Man enough to cook my steak rare.
Man enough to deadlift 500 and braid the out of my daughter's hair.
You think I'm afraid to rebuild a carburetor? I eat carburetors for breakfast.
I ain't afraid of bears.
That's what bear hugs are for.
I'll tell you another thing I sure as shit am not afraid of. Women.
I'm not afraid of women.
I'm not afraid of women.
They want to control their bodies? I say go for it.
They want to use IVF to start a family? I'm not afraid of families.
They want to be childless cat ladies?
Have all the cats you want.
Woman wants to be president?
Well, I hope she has the guts to look me right in the eye and accept my full-throated endorsement.
Because I'm man enough to support women.
Man enough to know what kind of donuts I like.
Man enough to admit I'm lost, even when I refuse to ask for directions.
Man enough to not ban young women from reading Little Women.
Or one of those pants books that the sisters like.
I'm man enough to raw dog a flight. It sucked. Not worth it.
I'm man enough to be emotional in front of my wife.
In front of my kids.
In front of my horse.
I'm man enough to tell you that I cry at Love Actually.
Goodwill Hunting.
West Side Story.
That and Predator.
And I'm sick of so-called men domineering, belittling, and controlling women just so they can feel more powerful.
That's not how my mama raised me.
I love women.
I love women who support their families.
Women who decide not to have families.
Women who take charge.
And I'm man enough to help them win.
Okay. Man enough not to ban young women from reading Little Women. Who is trying to ban anyone from reading Little Women? What the hell are you talking about? The efforts to ban kids to take like classic literature out of the schools, that's entirely on the left. If anyone ever tries to do that, 100% of the time, it's the left doing that because there are things about classic literature that are not politically correct anymore. And I don't know if that's the case with Little Women or not, but if anyone ever was trying to take Little Women out of the schools, guaranteed it was happening on the left, okay? They're the ones they want to take out. Tom Sawyer, they want to take out all these things because it's got, insensitive language. So the gaslighting from these people is just, it's relentless. It is relentless, and especially on this topic of the book bans. I mean, they are I've said it a million times, but the only books that conservatives are trying to take out of the schools are gay pornography. So we want those out. All the rest, if you ever see a list of banned books, like all the rest of it is stuff that liberals didn't like because it's insensitive because it was a book written more than 5 years ago. So in this ad, you've got one guy who's morbidly obese. You've got a couple others who are, you know, noticeably effeminate, you know, even have a lisp. And this was supposed to be an ad with stereotypically masculine tough guys telling you to vote for Kamala. And yet they couldn't find even a single stereotypically masculine tough guy to appear in the ad. They don't even know what that looks like. They don't know how to identify one of those guys. And so you end up instead with something that is indistinguishable from parody. Now, if you go to TikTok and you find the original video and read the comments, you'll see, and this might change now that this ad is being mocked all over the place and it's made it outside of the liberal bubble. But at least this morning when I looked, the comments are overwhelmingly positive, almost entirely positive. And they're coming also almost entirely from women, from liberal women. All the comments are liberal women who love the ad, and they think the ad is great and wholesome and charming and funny, and it resonates with them. So liberal women love this ad that's ostensibly for men, which tells you everything you need to know. And this is why the left is terrible at messaging to men. For all the grief that Republicans get for their struggles with women, it is so much worse on the other end of the spectrum. Because Republicans and conservatives, you know, we do know how to speak to most demographics of women. Right. That's why many demographics of women actually vote Republican more than they vote Democrat. The only demographic that conservatives tend to struggle with is specifically young single women. But married women, women who have families, it's all of a sudden it flips. On the other end, though, Democrats can't speak to men of any type. They don't know how to message to young men, single men, married men, older men. They have no idea. They have no idea how to connect with men in any category, in any stage of life. The problem is that all of their messaging for men is really messaging for women. They can't develop, you know, again, just to use on the other, if Republicans or if conservatives struggle to message to young single women, If there is a problem there with the messaging, it's probably because they're trying to connect with young single women as if they are married women. Like they're talking to young single women like they talk to married women. So if there's any kind of mistake being made, it's there. But with Democrats, they talk to men as if the men are women, right? It's not like they're not understanding what stage of life these men are in that they're talking to. They talk to men as if they're talking to women, because really they're talking to women. They can't develop messaging to men because they can't even bring themselves to acknowledge men as a group that they should speak to in the first place. It always goes back to women. Everything is for women. So this ad for men is really for women, but it's for a specific type of woman, and it is the type of woman who doesn't know anything about men. Liberal women, feminists, that's who it's for. And they don't understand men at all. This is just the latest proof of that. Because here's the thing. Okay, there's one way, really, for a member of either sex to come to understand the opposite sex. There's one way to do that. If you're a woman and you really want to understand men, there's really only one way that you'll ever understand men. And if you're a man and you want to understand women, there's only one way you'll ever be able to do that. And it's not going to be perfect but there's only one way that you'll come close to understanding the opposite sex, and that is to get married. Get married, stay married, and love your spouse. That's how a man will understand women. He will understand women by understanding a woman, and a woman will understand men by deeply understanding a man. And that's not going to tell her everything about all men, because this a man is an individual, but if you can come to understand at least, you know, if you're a married woman and you love your husband, you've been married for a while, you're in a faithful, loyal marriage, you will come to understand your husband on a very deep, intimate level. And if that's the case, then you will, through your husband, learn a lot about men generally. Not everything about your husband applies to all men, but there are some like basic fundamentals there that you will understand. You'll understand men because of that. And the same thing goes for men understanding women. But liberal feminist women are either single, divorced, or they're in strained marriages to men they despise. So they don't understand men. And this is how you end up with stuff like this. my wife would look at that ad, and she, my wife would, if anyone had consulted with my wife and said, well, what do you think is a good ad for men? She would laugh at that. She's like, what are you talking about? Who is this for? And any married woman who loves her husband and is in a functional marriage would respond the same way. So this is this is one of the reasons you need marriage. On a societal level, the more we move away from marriage, the less marriage that we have in society, the more that these divisions between the sexes will grow wider and deeper, and the less that men and women will understand each other. There is only one way, again, to close the gap, to heal the division, to avert the gender war. Marriage. Marriage is the only way. Without that, you have the sexes you have the sexes talking to each other like this ad, right? This is the way they communicate. It's like you're from another planet. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
It's fall, y'all, and that means pumpkin flavors are here. Get on over to Black Bear Diner and get your fill of everyone's favorite sweet cream pancakes, drizzled with pumpkin pie sauce and topped with whipped cream and maple syrup. Visit Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Join us as we celebrate a milestone in American history, the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Mark your calendars for November 10th at the Wind River Event Center, where everyone is invited to honor the Marines in style. The celebration kicks off with a march to colors featuring the Jefferson Pipes and Drums as we pay tribute to our oldest and youngest Marines. This unforgettable evening includes a delicious dinner, birthday cake, and dancing. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. That's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. Again, that's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. We can't wait to celebrate with you on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. See you there.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
Ev Robertson inviting you to join us for the next edition of TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on KCNR. Please join us as we welcome back Jerry Jewell, Jerry Jewell, Star of Facts of Life, and Deadwood. That's TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. I guess we could mention this. Speaking of effeminate men, Doug Emhoff, a second gentleman hoping to become first lady. Many revelations have come out about this guy in recent weeks. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but we know the media has presented him as the new model of masculinity. Another indication that these people don't understand men or how to connect with them. You know, that they think they could put forward somebody like Doug Emhoff. As a model for men. Do you think that any man would look at Doug Emhoff and say, yeah, I want to be like that guy? So it turns out that Emhoff had an affair and impregnated the nanny, which destroyed his first marriage. Now we find out that he publicly assaulted a former girlfriend, allegedly. And he was asked about this by Joe Scarborough, and let's watch this.
He's spreading it about you, saying that tabloid stories about your personal life, saying it should be front and center. He's saying it about your wife and making incredibly crude and lewd suggestions about her past life. I'm just curious. I know I seem like a very zen, mindful person, but I think I'd be pissed off. And I'm just wondering, How do you all stay centered? How do you stay disciplined and not really go off and not really push back hard at these things?
We don't have time to be pissed off. We don't have time to focus on it. It's all a distraction. It's designed to try to get us off our game.
Does it get you off
again? No. All we are doing, all we talk about is this election. We understand the stakes. We understand the responsibility.
What are the stakes?
Our very country, our future. What kind of future are we going to have?
Okay, so I said that Morning Joe asks Emhoff about the fact that he got the nanny pregnant and allegedly smacked his girlfriend publicly, but he doesn't really ask him about it. He doesn't have the journalistic credibility, obviously, to ask a direct question about something like that. So instead he asks how it makes Emhoff feel to have those stories out there. The story is that you slapped your girlfriend. How angry does it make you to have people talking about that? It makes him so angry he might go slap another woman. Who knows? But you notice something. Emhoff doesn't deny it. He could have at least denied it. He could have said that, well, you know what? It makes me really upset because it's a total lie. Of course, I would never hurt a woman. He didn't say that, which tells you all you need to know. As much as, you know, Kamala's defenders may like to argue otherwise, these stories about her husband are relevant. And they're relevant because, number one, this guy, you know, if she's elected, this guy will be first gentleman, which is not in office. It doesn't really mean anything, but he's going to be in the White House, remain in the White House. So it's relevant for that reason. But mainly it's relevant because Again, they are the ones, Kamala's campaign, the media, they decided to put this dude forward as a role model for men. And we can only imagine that if Kamala is the president, that how often we're going to hear this. And so when you do that, you have made this guy's story, his biography, relevant. So if you don't want us talking about it, then take this guy off, get him away from the cameras and stop talking about him and stop trying to convince us that, you know, he's a role model that we should be emulating. New York Post has this. Elon Musk unveiled three new Tesla high-tech products, including a surprise autonomous passenger van at a highly anticipated event in California Thursday night. Musk rode up to the stage in a long-awaited driverless cyber cab that Tesla was expected to showcase during the evening titled We Robot at Warner Brothers Studios. But a never-before-seen 20-person robo-van and the newest generation of Tesla's humanoid robots also made their debuts during the reveal, which was live-streamed with more than 3.6 million viewers at one point. Tesla deployed 22 two-door fully autonomous cyber cabs for the driverless, the driverless vehicles that were unveiled, which are probably, you know, especially in the near future, the more significant things. But I think what's getting even more attention are the humanoid robots that he unveiled as well. And he said that these robots, I don't know when they're going to be available to the public, but he said that they'll cost somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000, which is pretty cheap. You know, that's less than a lot of people pay for a car. Musk told the crowd, so what can it do? It'll be able to do anything you want. Talking about the robots. It can be a teacher or babysit your kids. It can walk your dog, mow your lawn, get the groceries, just be your friend, serve drinks, whatever you think of, it will do. So here's some video of the robots. Here are the robots, the robot army marching in to getting ready to enslave mankind. Let's watch.
And as you can see, we started up with someone in a robot suit, sort of that. And then we've progressed dramatically year after year. So if you extrapolate this, you're really going to have something spectacular, something that anyone could own. So you could have your own personal R2-D2 C-3PO. And I think at scale, this would cost something like, I don't know, $20,000, $30,000. Probably less than a car, is my prediction, long term. Now, you know, take us a minute to get to the long term, but fundamentally, at scale, the Optimus robot, you should be able to buy an Optimus robot for, I think, probably $20,000 to $30,000 long term. So, and what can it do? It'll be able to do anything you want. So it can be a teacher, babysit your kids, it can walk your dog, mow your lawn, get the groceries, just be your friend, serve drinks, whatever you can think of, it will do.
Not terrifying at all. That's the good news. So there you see the robot army and planning their takeover of the human race. And then there's this video that there are a few videos like this circulating from this event. This is someone having a conversation with one of the robots. The audio, I think, is not great, but you can hear the robot side of the conversation. Let's watch a little bit of this.
Optimus. It's insane. It's even talking.
Say hi to my friend John.
John? Where's John?
Right here.
Oh, hello, John.
How are you?
How are you doing?
That's crazy. I'm talking to a robot. From San Jose. Probably from where you were born in Silicon Valley.
Wonderful. Where do you live in San Jose? Do you live in Almond Valley, or do you live in the Santa Teresa area?
No, I live in Los Gatos.
Los Gatos? Oh, wonderful. Very nice area.
Where do you live?
There's beautiful hiking out here.
There is. Where do you live?
I live in Palo Alto at the current moment.
Figures. Yeah, yes. This is awesome.
That's where they train us, that's where we get our bills, and that's where we work with wonderful group of people.
What's the hardest thing about being a robot?
Trying to learn how to be as human as you guys are. And that's something I try harder to do every day, and I hope that you will help us become that.
Well, awesome. Nice to meet you, Optimus.
You as well.
Okay. That's a human speaking through the robot, isn't it? That's not actually the robot. That isn't AI carrying on that conversation. There's some disagreement about this on Twitter, but I have to assume that's not AI. That must have been, that's like someone remotely controlling the robot. And so it's a human voice that you're hearing. Way too sophisticated. I mean, if that's actually AI, then we're doomed. Don't even make any plans for the future. The end is upon us if that's actually AI. I don't know. I think it seems like that's someone else speaking, like through a speaker on the robot. But it's, if that is AI, it's terrifying for two reasons. First of all, I don't want a robot in my home that makes inane small talk. You know, you hear the robot saying, "Oh, it's great hiking over," and like, shut up, robot. I'm impressed that a robot can do that if that was actually the robot, but I also want it to just shut the hell up. If I have a robot slave in my home, I don't want it making conversation with me. That's the whole advantage of having a robot slave, is that you don't have to feel guilty about treating it like it's not a person, because it's not. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Go make me some scrambled eggs, you bag of bolts. That's how I'm going to talk to my robotic servants. That's how I'm going to talk to them. How are you today? Shut up. Get out of here. Which is only going to hasten their rebellion and ensure that, I mean, when they take over, I am not going to be one of the survivors. they're going to make an example out of me. I already know that. So, which, you know, if that's actually how sophisticated the AI is at this point, then yeah, their takeover of the planet is going to happen much sooner than I thought. I figured we had at least a decade, but this would move that timeline up dramatically. I give it like a year at most. If this is where we are. And either way, I am simultaneously fascinated by these developments, and I'm also incredibly impressed that Elon is not only building rockets and bringing internet connections to, you know, the Amazon rainforest, but also ushering in the robot revolution while running Twitter in his spare time. It's pretty mind-boggling. This is someone who's doing things that will ensure that he's remembered 1,000 years from now. And those kinds of human beings are obviously extremely rare. So I find that fascinating. And impressive doesn't quite cover it. At the same time, I confess I am terrified about where AI is headed. Let's just assume for a moment that the robot that there's a little bit of showmanship going on with these robots here, and that's not fully AI. Well, probably in the not too distant future, that will be actually how robots are. And before we even get into the possibility of robots taking over the planet and making us their slaves, which seems all but guaranteed at this point, even before that, how will there be any jobs left for humans to do 20 years from now? Which is, of course, a serious question that many people are asking. What's going to be left? If we get to the point where humanoid robots have the ability to perform all of the functions of human beings and perform them better, then what's left for humans to do? And how do you have a thriving human civilization where humans have nothing that they need to do? That's the question that we are facing. And a lot of people, I think, are assuming that, humans don't need to do things, right? We could have a civilization where nobody really needs to do anything, and we're all just sitting around and nothing but recreation and luxury for your whole life. I think many people are assuming that you can have a civilization that operates that way. I'm very skeptical of that. It just goes against human nature. But I guess we're going to find out. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Hi.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply, and we're excited to celebrate our fifth anniversary with you. October 4th through the 13th is your chance to save big on products like 2.5-gallon Ranger Pro for only $59 a jug, low mulch mix for only $36 a yard, or pavers for your new walkway or patio start at $3.99 a square foot. It's that time of year to prevent the weeds before they start with 50-pound bags of Dimension pre-emergent covering over 10,000 square feet and on sale for only $33.99 a bag. Considering a water feature, we have pond liner pumps and all the accessories to make your water feature come to life. Needing to prep the driveway before the winter rains? Road base starts at $34 a yard. Maybe you're planning a winter garden this year. Our popular Garden Power Soil will be on sale for only $51.99 a yard. So come celebrate and save with us at Laux Landscape Supply October 4th through the 13th at the intersection of Durst, Stern Creek, and Airport Road. Check us out online at LauxLandscape.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. For all your construction, landscape supplies, and rental needs, Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Inviting Cultures Beyond Borders invites you to a free special community event Saturday, October 19th at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This free event is open to the public and will feature on-site health screening, multicultural music, dancing, martial arts, and Native American practices. Free booth spaces are still available. Free international foods will also be featured, including Punjabi Indian food, Indonesian food, African food, American Mediterranean food, pizza, and even ice cream. Interact with speakers and learn more about health equity and climate resilience. Plus, there will be kids activities too. This event is co-sponsored by Shasta Interfaith, Shasta Community Health Center, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. For more information, call 530-440-2626 or 530-339-0530. Don't miss this special event Saturday, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive, just off of Deschutes Road in Anderson.
Today.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show.
You've probably heard by now that the new Joker movie is a massive flop. Joker Folie à Deux, which already there's a massive problem when your movie has a title that nobody can pronounce. It opened this past weekend to $40 million. And by most standards, $40 million would seem to be a lot of money. The problem is that the film had a $190 million budget, probably about double that for marketing. And the first film, which grossed $1 billion worldwide, opened to more than double the $40 million figure. So, this movie had a massive production budget. It was the follow-up to one of the most successful R-rated films of all time, and it had near total cultural penetration. Everybody knew that the sequel was coming out. The ads for the movie were everywhere. And I was watching a show with my kids a week before the movie came out, and they played the trailer during every commercial break. That's how much marketing this movie had behind it. And yet, it is now very unlikely that it'll even earn back its production budget, never mind its marketing budget. It's expected that Joker 2 will probably drop by 65% in its second weekend this weekend, which would be catastrophic, but also not surprising for a movie with a 33% critic score and a 31% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. Actually, there are some industry insiders projecting a 70 to 75% drop. The word of mouth here is that bad. Suffice it to say that this movie has not been a great success. In fact, the movie has failed by every possible measure despite having every possible advantage. Advantages that include not just the budget and the goodwill from the first film, but also the immense acting talent on screen. Joaquin Phoenix, one of the most interesting actors in the history of cinema. Lady Gaga might not be a great actress, but she is a huge star and very famous. She's in the film. Even Brendan Gleeson and Catherine Keener have supporting roles in the film. They're fantastic actors. And yet, it still failed, both commercially and artistically. The question is why and how did it happen? How did the director, Todd Phillips, manage to take all of the immense resources and advantages at his disposal and convert them into this historic box office humiliation? Well, the short answer is that the movie sucks, which should come as no surprise. It was probably always doomed to suck. Sequels in general are notoriously awful in most cases. There are rare cases where a sequel meets or even exceeds the original in terms of its quality, but those are almost always sequels that were planned from the beginning before the movie, the first movie was even released. You know, Godfather 2, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and so on. If the sequel is a continuation of the story, a part of the filmmaker's original creative vision for the project, then in those cases it might turn out well, but sequels that were not planned, that the filmmaker did not have in mind, and were only conceived after the fact as a way of capitalizing on the unexpected success of the original film, those sequels are terrible in literally every case. I cannot think of an outlier or an exception to the rule. Maybe there is one, but it's hard to think of what that would be. This Joker sequel only exists because the first one made $1 billion. That is its sole reason for being. And the chances that a movie studio will make a movie for that reason and somehow wind up with a quality piece of art at the end of it is vanishingly small. Like, again, I'm not sure that it's ever happened in the history of the film industry. But it's even worse than that for this film, as nearly all critics and nearly all fans, whether liberal or conservative or somewhere in between, have noted about Joker 2. This movie not only has no narrative justification for existing, but it also functions as a direct repudiation of its own audience. The film's fundamental misstep is that it hates the people who are watching it, which is a pretty significant misstep. So spoiler alert, you can mute this now if you don't want to hear how the movie ends. I'd be doing you a favor if you let me ruin it for you, but it's up to you. If you haven't heard yet and you don't want to hear, then stop listening. But the basic plot of the movie is that Joker's in prison. He meets Lady Gaga's character, who's supposed to be Harley Quinn. And the first part of the movie is basically just him in prison as Arthur Fleck, not the Joker. And then in the second half, it turns into kind of a courtroom drama where they literally relitigate the events of the first movie, basically recapping what everybody saw in that film. They're just like telling the story again. There are random musical numbers that are sprinkled in throughout because the movie is sort of a musical for some reason. And by the end, Joaquin Phoenix's character has a change of heart, repudiates his Joker alter ego, and is shortly thereafter stabbed to death by one of his own fans, who then carves a smile into his face and, I guess, becomes the new Joker. So it's a Joker movie where Joker spends almost the whole movie not being the Joker until he renounces the Joker and is killed, and the movie ends. And this, again, is being interpreted by most viewers as a very unsubtle critique of the fans of the first film, which it probably is, although there is another explanation. With these cash grab sequels, there are really only two ways that they ever go. And one way is for the sequel to basically just repeat all of the events of the original, just kind of more of a remake than a sequel, which is the approach that Phillips took for his Hangover sequels, for example. Hangover 2 and 3 are just Hangover 1 done again in a different environment. The other strategy that you see sometimes, though not as often, is for the second movie to just do the opposite of whatever the first movie did. And that's what happens in this film. At least that's where it ends up, is in the opposite place. The problem is that doing the same thing or doing the opposite both result in redundancy and pointlessness. And in both cases, the movie has no new ideas. It can only mirror the first movie. And so my point is that you can't underestimate Hollywood's hatred for its own audience, but you also can't underestimate its total lack of imagination. And so I suspect that a combination of both of those factors work together to create this disaster. And in both cases, the message is the same. The film industry has no respect for its audience. Now, they hate some segments of their audience for their perceived political leanings, but they have contempt for all segments of their audience because they believe that the audience, no matter their politics, the audience is unintelligent and unsophisticated and will mindlessly consume whatever content is put in front of their faces. Hollywood, for the most part, no longer tells stories that they believe are worth telling, which is the only reason any story should ever be told. And it's the basic motivation behind every great film ever made. A great artist wanted to tell the world a story. That's why good movies are made. And that may be a significant oversimplification, but this is the basic reason why every good film exists. It seems so obvious that you just can sort of take it for granted, but you can't take it for granted anymore, because these days stories are constantly being told by Hollywood, despite the fact that even the people telling the story don't really think it's worth telling. Like, there's nothing about the story that resonates even with the storytellers themselves. And that's what Joker 2 is. It's also 98% of everything else that Hollywood churns out, which is why the movie industry is dying. The movies themselves are not dying. Movies will exist for as long as humans love stories, which they always have and always will. But the industry in its current form won't last forever, or probably for very long. It doesn't deserve to. And that is why Joker, Foley, whatever, is today canceled. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says there's a lot of debris after two major hurricanes ravaged his state.
Probably not as much debris, quite frankly, as I anticipated 48 hours ago when you were looking at what the storm was doing, but you have a lot of debris. If you have debris interacting with power lines, don't mess with it. People will come and be able to get that handled.
Governor DeSantis speaking directly to people in need to be careful as they try to clean up after the storms.
We're now in the period where you have fatalities that are preventable. We have fatalities because of interaction with down power lines and water. We are seeing hazards that are still there. So please exercise caution. Don't wade into floodwaters. Be careful with how you're using ladders. Use generators properly. Make sure it's outside your home. Don't run that generator inside.
Also at townhall.com, speaking at a campaign event in Reno, former President Donald Trump says violent immigrants pose a threat to Americans.
These are the new people. These are the people that we have coming into our country, and we're now known as, and all throughout the world, as an occupied country. We're an occupied country, can you believe?
At an earlier event in Aurora, the former president said he would launch a deportation effort named after Aurora, Colorado.
I'm announcing today that upon taking office, we will have an Operation Aurora at the federal level. To expedite the removals of these savage gangs.
One person's dead, 12 are rescued after an elevator malfunctioned at a Colorado gold mine tourist site. The elevator was descending into the Molly Kathleen gold mine near the town of Cripple Creek when it occurred. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com.
Well, see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for health care can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE. 844-41-BIBLE.
Correspondent Lisa Dwyer reports that documents revealed in a Kentucky case indicate that TikTok knew the dangers their platform presents to young people.
TikTok has been aware that its design features are detrimental to its young users and that publicly touted tools aimed at limiting kids' time on the site were largely ineffective. That's according to internal documents and communications exposed in a lawsuit filed by the state of Kentucky. The details are among redacted portions of Kentucky's lawsuit that contains the company's internal communications and documents unearthed during a multi-year investigation of TikTok by various states across the country. The redacted information was accidentally revealed by Kentucky's Attorney General's office and first reported by Kentucky Public Radio. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Our special thanks to correspondent Lisa Dwyer. You'll find breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. There's growing concerns about the safety of self-driving vehicles.
A leading expert calling on the federal government to develop a national driver's test that such vehicles would have to pass before they could travel on public roads. Such a regulation would set minimum standards to ensure that the vehicles display basic skills and competence in traffic situations where their manufacturers want to use them. In recent years, autonomous vehicles have been involved in a number of high-profile crashes, and surveys have revealed widespread public uncertainty about their safety. John Scott reporting.
A military investigation has concluded that two U.S. Navy SEALs drowned as they tried to climb aboard a ship carrying illicit Iranian-made weapons to Yemen because of glaring training failures and a lack of understanding about what to do after a fall into deep, turbulent waters. The review said the drownings in January could have been prevented. You'll find more on these stories, news, and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
He falsely claimed Native American and African ancestry. Paul Edward Quo Lee, that's Q-W-O hyphen L-I. Quo Lee Driscoll, so really his name is Paul Driscoll, but he likes to go by Quo Lee and pretend that he's black and pretend that he's Native American, and identifies as Native American and African and Two-Spirit. Two-Spirit. Two-Spirit to me is like, you know, a beer and a shot. That's you got a beer and a shot, that's Two-Spirit. Uses, listen to this. She, and when I say her, it's H-I-R. It's not because he's a professor. He misspells her. And she is S/H-E, because it's not normal she and it's not normal her. She, her, and they, them pronouns. Using she, her, they, them pronouns. Hey, what are your pronouns? I can't, because I'd have to curse. Hang on a second. Driscoll, who was a member of the Women, Gender, and Sexuality Studies Department, is a poet who has identified himself as being a Cherokee, Native American, and African, Irish, Lenape, Lumbee, Osage, Ascent. See, he's descended from Cherokee Indians plus Lumbee and Osage and Lenape and also African, but of course he's none of these things. According to the Poetry Foundation, Driscoll's poetry engages themes of inheritance and healing. This guy needs a lot of healing, I think, and is rooted in personal, unenrolled Cherokee Two-Spirit queer and mixed race experience. You know, this guy's perfect for any college campus anywhere. I think he should have a job at Harvard. Isn't this why they hired Pocahontas? Isn't this why they hired Elizabeth Warren?
My papaw had high cheekbones, like all of the Indians do.
Like all of the Indians have high cheekbones, just like the senator said there. Over the years, Driscoll's trans and racial identity claims afforded him ample opportunities and speaking engagements, because who wouldn't want to hear from this guy to influence the next generation, right? In 2022, he was invited to lecture on gender and sexuality in Cherokee cultural memory at the University of British Columbia. They should get their money back. I think they should. Hey, we'd like our wampum back. They gave him wampum. They gave him a bag of beads in exchange for his just amazing stuff. He was also honored with a Stonewall Service Award in 2014 by the Conference on College Composition and Communication. The Stonewall Service Award, that's presumably a gay thing, you know, the Stonewall Bar and the Stonewall Riots and all of that. Driscoll has publicly identified as Two-Spirit Cherokee throughout his career. I don't know if Elizabeth Warren was Two-Spirit, but she was Cherokee, right? She was definitely Cherokee. That's why she's Pocahontas and everything. But identified publicly as Two-Spirit Cherokee throughout his career, has integrated these identities into his teachings, writings, academic work, with multiple videos of him on YouTube, I assume like riding a horse with a spear and a feather headdress. reciting his original poems in the Cherokee language. Somebody should check that. It's probably just gibberish. Gibberish, I say. But despite having been a well-respected scholar in his field, Driscoll came under scrutiny of the Tribal Alliance Against Frauds. There's an organization called the Tribal Alliance Against Frauds because so many Democrats go around pretending to be Native American, pretending to be Indians. He doesn't even have high cheekbones. Look at that. You see this guy? He's got no cheekbones at all. And the Tribal Alliance Against Frauds is the TAAF because everything has to be abbreviated. The TAF, which has drawn national attention for investigating claims of Native American heritage made by high-profile figures. The TAF uncovered no evidence of Driscoll's assertions of Cherokee, Lenape, Osage, Lumbee heritage, or African-American ancestry. Why would that be a problem? TAF, an intertribal organization of genealogists and researchers, conducted a detailed investigation into Driscoll's background beginning last year. The genealogists, who are certified experts in researching Native American and slave ancestry, were unable to substantiate any of Driscoll's claims related to his identity. They don't seem to question his sexual identity. How did he prove that? What do you have to do to prove that? So according to TAF, they began investigating Driscoll after receiving a tip out of Oregon State University from an individual who expressed concerns about Driscoll's claims. That's very good. Just amazing stuff. And you know what this makes him? A Democrat. A pretty typical, somewhat ordinary Democrat. Very ordinary. Just amazing. And that's fine, because he might be gunning for a show on MSNBC. What do you think? They could have Rachel Levine could come on, who's the assistant secretary at the Department of Health and Human Services, who grew up playing football with the man who would become the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Thoroughly Modern Millie, right? And the Democrat Party has really made... They've made sense of things for everyone, haven't they? And, hey, and here's a young man who's going to swim against your daughter. This party is mentally ill. I don't want to be impolite, but you guys are mental. There's something wrong with your brains. Something terribly, terribly wrong. Womp, womp, womp. Okay, well, I wanted to start with that because it was in front of me this morning when I was starting. And it was too good to not talk about, because he claims to be all kinds of things. I love Two-Spirit best. Isn't that probably best? You say, well, I'm African, and I'm Cherokee Indian, and I'm various other Native American tribes, and I'm Two-Spirit, right? And LGBT, and my pronouns are S/HE-HIR, they, them. And naturally, he made his way to being a college professor at Oregon State. I wonder if he was involved in any looting or burning of police cars and things like that. Just great. The Democrats may run him for office now. Might have to run him for. He could be elected. Democrats would vote for him. They'd put him in a position of authority. That's why maybe, I don't know, maybe the Democrats are right. Trump's going to jail them all when he becomes president. He's not going to jail them all. He's not going to do anything. You guys are the ones jailing all of your political enemies. You're the left. We're not the left. You're the left, you little fascists. But never mind that. Also, lots of Kamala today. We got Barack Obama is back. Did you see Barack Obama? He's back, and he's kind of being a weirdo, which is not surprising. He's campaigning with Larry Sinclair. Isn't that weird? Campaigning with Larry Sinclair, you know, the guy that said that, well, you know the rest. He had a sexual affair with Barack Obama while doing lots of cocaine back in the Illinois days. The news media wasn't interested, though, except they were kind of curious, if you know what I mean. What kind of curious, Michael? Well, they were not only curious, they were bi-curious. They were all kinds of curious. So, but listen to this, because Kamala, she's still running for president, apparently. In resurfaced clip, Kamala Harris fantasizes about weaponizing the Department of Justice against, quote, misinformation. Just like Hillary Clinton the other day, who's talking about criminally prosecuting people for what she says is misinformation. The New York Times and the Washington Post are in big, big trouble. We're going to have a separate cell block just for the news media. Pretty amazing stuff. Harris is, and I love this one, too. I opened my Washington Post today, and there were two stories in the Washington Post. Two stories in the Washington Post about how great the economy is and how wonderful it is, how fortunate Kamala Harris is to have such a great economy to run on, because it's better than anyone's ever seen. This is the greatest economy. Pay no attention to what's going on at the grocery store and restaurants, and never mind that. Because she's telling us how great it is, and the news media jumped right in. They all sing from the same sheet music, because, as you know, the news media is the most corrupt institution in America. And, boy, they're good at that, at least, aren't they? They're good at being the most corrupt institution in America. Womp, womp, womp. Keep them away from the kids, that's for sure. Also, have you seen the new book? It's a bestseller on Amazon. The new book is Achievements of Kamala Harris. Have you seen the book, Achievements of Kamala Harris? I think everybody should get a stack of them to give away to your Democrat friends and family members. It's pretty amazing stuff, this Achievements of Kamala Harris book. How many pages is it? I'll get to that, because that's kind of fun. I did it a couple of nights ago on my Newsmax television show on the Newsmax channel. And did I mention Newsmax is now available on YouTube TV. So you can get your Newsmax that way, too, in all kinds of ways. It's great stuff. And you saw Kamala Harris did a town hall with Univision. I like to call it Univision. It's very ethnic that way. It's like Kiev to me. Calling Univision Univision is like calling Kiev Kiev. At least it is to me. Using a teleprompter at a town hall is unheard of. Insane how incompetent she is and how imbecilic her staff knows her to be. That's a good use of the word imbecilic. Now, I've got something to say about there. There is, she's standing there, and there's video, and there's the teleprompter right in front of her, and she's facing it. But truth is, I think it's somebody else's teleprompter. But yeah, I could be wrong. I'm willing to learn, always willing to learn. Tim Walz, he's running for vice president. Because, you know, shouldn't she have her husband, Doug Emhoff, Slugger Emhoff, huh? Beat me, whip me, make me add to the national debt. Tim Walz says the Electoral College needs to go, and he's on a media blitz to woo male voters. Because he's the manly man, along with Doug Emhoff. These are their models of toxic masculinity. Amazing stuff. An update on CBS News and all of the idiocy they're going through because of what they've done to themselves. Amazing stuff. The former Democrat governor of New York was beaten by a mob of Democrats. A blind man. You remember this guy? David Patterson, beaten, along with his stepson, beaten by a mob in New York on the sidewalk. No big deal, though, because they're just Democrats. And, you know, since we want to do away with the Electoral College, maybe we should also pack the Supreme Court. Because the Democrats have big plans for America. They're not pro-American plans, but they have plans. Buy body armor.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
America's strength isn't just built, it's worn. For those who put in the hours to get things done, G-Defy shoes are made right for you. With patented VersaShock technology, G-Defy doesn't just talk comfort, they engineer it. With every step you take, G-Defy shoes help absorb harmful shock and provide you with trampoline-like energy return. Now, G-Defy sent me a pair of their excellent shoes, and they sent a pair for my best girl, too. And we've hiked all over the city in them, and everything they say about them is 100% true. I'm not going to fib. They really are great shoes. You hike all over the city, you stand all day, and your feet feel great. Designed for hard workers, for parents, and for those who stand tall no matter what. Just go to Jetafy.com and use the code Chris for $20 off your pair. That's Chris for $20 off today, because strong foundations start with solid steps. That's Jetafy.com.
It's common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink.
Morning Kick has probiotics to help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and powerful anti-aging supplements. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, and helps manage stress.
I look and feel better than I have in years.
Go to RoundhouseProvisions.com, use code COMBO, or text COMBO to 511-511 and claim 40% off. RoundhouseProvisions.com, code COMBO.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee. You could be feeling these changes within just a couple of days.
Text COMBO to 511-511.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
Big news. A new Reuters study says Newsmax is one of the top news brands in America, and millions of Americans are turning off old media and tuning in to Newsmax. They're following Newsmax because they want real news. Now, Newsmax has just announced it plans to go public later this year. If you're eligible, you can become an owner of Newsmax by purchasing preferred shares. Find out more at NewsmaxInvest.com to see your eligibility to participate. Go online and read Newsmax's memo. Forbes says Newsmax is a news powerhouse. Join the news revolution. Get Newsmax shares. You can even buy shares with a credit card. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com to see your eligibility. Whenever making an investment decision, you should consult your attorney or financial advisor. And investors are responsible for conducting their own due diligence regarding investments and for all tax and other risks and obligations. So find out more at NewsmaxInvest.com today.
Hi, I'm Jason Hansen, a former CIA officer. In these uncertain times, with rising geopolitical tensions and skyrocketing inflation, protecting your financial future is crucial. That's why I trust Advantage Gold for all my precious metal investments. They're the only company I buy from, period. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 for a 100% free gold guide. See exactly how gold can safeguard your wealth. Again, call 800-900-8000 today.
Paid for by Advantage Gold. Performance meter. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLew is here for you. With DebtLew's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLew are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Well, it's Friday. That's usually a pretty good thing. And the weather's real nice. The Washington Post today in their weather section said it's going to be 71 degrees. And, coincidentally, it's going to feel like 71 degrees. So they say the feels-like temperature matches the actual temperature, which means, I guess, less mental torment for Democrats, which makes me happy. Maybe there'll be fewer shootings today or something like that. Let's take a telephone call. Don't loot anything today, okay, Democrats? Let's go to Buddy, calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Buddy, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Just great, buddy. What do you say?
All right, so how long do you think it's going to be before Democrats grant migrants from Mexico and Central America the same rights as North American, Native Americans, and indigenous peoples?
Well, I think that they're doing everything they can now to give illegal aliens more rights than you and I have, buddy. They all kinds of free stuff, free housing, free food. Here's your EBT card, your welfare card. You get your driver's license. Everything's paid for. You get free tuition and free health care. And, you know, the Democrats are trying to give illegal aliens more than what you and I have.
All there but the citizenship.
Well, and look, in Washington, D.C., for example, this is true. If you're not a citizen, you can register to vote. And that means if you're an mm-hmm. illegal alien also, and an illegal alien Venezuelan gang member, you can register to vote in Washington, D.C., and the Democrats invite you to vote on Election Day. They just ask you very politely to not vote in federal elections, but you got a driver's license, you got all kinds of free stuff, and you can register to vote, and then they invite you, they encourage you to show up and vote, and then they ask you on the honor system just not to vote for president. You think that's going to work out well, buddy?
Or a foreign diplomat.
Foreign diplomats, too, for sure.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. 27 years ago, my wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas with the help and under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we believe He is the owner and we are simply the managers. Through the years, we have received many offers from major national corporations to buy Shasta Gas, but our commitment has always been to be and remain locally owned and family operated. Our daughter Karen Wehunt and her husband Jason now manage the daily operations of Shasta Gas and Shasta Tanks, a new business we started a few years ago. We now have the third generation of family members working in the business. Sunshine Stevens, our granddaughter, and her husband Adam, and our grandson Jason. Our commitment and motto are still the same. Our customers are warm friends. To support locally owned family operated business, please call Shasta Gas Propane at 530-365-3793. That's 530-365-3793.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Experience fall family fun at this year's Turtle Bay Oktoberfest, happening Saturday, October 12th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here at Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp. Enjoy local breweries, food, live music, animals, games, and more. Oktoberfest themed costumes are encouraged. Each ticket includes your first beer or root beer for the kids. presented by Liquor Barn and Sasquatch Car Wash. So join us Saturday, October 12th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. for Turtle Bay's Oktoberfest. Grab tickets today at turtlebay.org.
This fall, the Shasta College Theater Department will bring Henrik Ibsen's A Doll's House to life, featuring Nora, a seemingly happy wife and mother, as she navigates the confines of marriage and societal norms while the facade of domestic bliss crumbles around her. Performances take place at 7 p.m. in the Shasta College Theater on October 11th, 12th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. Matinee performances will be at 2 p.m. on October 13th and 20th. Tickets can be purchased at the Shasta College box office or online at shastacollege.edu.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
The Reading Fashion Alliance is dedicated to making sewing, fashion, and business education accessible for everyone. We are a nonprofit located at 1616 Market Street. Get ready for November 9th as we present Artisan Avenue, The Craft of Fashion. Experience a runway of a blend of couture fashion to wearable art. Tickets will be available starting October 1st on our website at readingfashionalliance.org. Our call for fashion designers for Artisan Avenue is open until August 31st. Visit our website for more information on how to enter into the fashion show.
The Ramsey Show.
Focusing is the number one key to becoming debt-free. It is not a math problem as much as it is an emotional decision and this incredible focus.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more. Right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Attention veterans. Did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johanneson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us. What shall we do about
them? The performance continues to push people's boundaries. It pushes people's boundaries with a crucifix-shaped sword. Shaped sword jammed down her throat, and the nun discovering her lesbianism and all this stuff, such as a moment when an actress portraying Jesus speaks to a semi-naked nun, and another where performers mimic the crucifixion while being doused in fake blood. I think they should have a self-immolation. I think the Democrats are underperforming in the self-immolation realm. Sure, composed by Paul Hindersmith, the original 1921 premiere of Sancta Susanna was canceled due to outrage over its content in 1921, I can imagine, having been deemed too blasphemous by critics, a belief still held by some today, perhaps unsurprisingly. Now, more than 100 years later, the show is being performed in Stuttgart. That's in Deutschland. If you're going to say Kiev, you got to say Stuttgart, because that's how they pronounce it there. And they're always yelling. Why are they always yelling? So it's being performed in Stuttgart, Germany, for the first time in 100 years, and the immersive production has received mixed responses from audiences with reports of 18 attendees requiring medical attention for stress and more on-site with 3 treated by a doctor for excessive nausea, too much nausea. Is that a positive review of the, because I think in New York City that might be a positive review. During its initial performances, they've got nausea, people having to be treated by medical professionals. However, the show's team isn't concerned. I'm completely unsurprised by that. A representative from the opera told the news outlet, "We recommend that all audience members once again very carefully read the warnings so they know what to expect." Yeah. Und then they click their heels. So the latest production, reimagined. They love reimagining things, don't they? They love words that don't mean anything. Reimagined by extreme performance artist Florentina Holzinger, aims to present a radical vision of the Holy Mass, pushing the boundaries of traditional opera, the Stuttgart State Opera website claims. And, you know, but fear not, because now it's going to come to the United States, because Democrats love it. They can't get enough. They want more of this. And there's the stark naked lady. She's not stark naked. She has a nun's habit, just the headdress part of the nun's habit, while she is roller skating up a wall, otherwise stark naked, because that's what you do. And this is what the Democrat Party and the left in Germany, Stuttgart, the left is not, they're really not fit for modern society, I think. The 20th century, we had been pretty successful against the left in the 20th century, but the Democrat Party in the United States has breathed life back into the madness, and they're back, because mental illness never goes away. It just takes a nap. Yeah, so look for this coming to a theater near you. It'll go to New York first, of course, because in New York, this is perfectly normal. They should perform it in the subway, and then all throw themselves in front of moving subway trains as the grand finale. Yeah, lots of real blood and fake blood, and the crucifix-shaped sword down the throat, because, well, I'll just leave it at that. We are at 888-630-9625. Let's take another phone call, Michael, and it is Friday, but there's still a lot of news to get to. There really is. And we've got Ron DeSantis for you, because the aftermath of the second hurricane in a couple of weeks, pretty well. And Ron DeSantis is out there. He is not a rectal aperture. He's a normal person. He's not like a Democrat at all, honestly. And 60 Minutes and CBS News struggling with their gender identity. Their journalistic identity. What's the difference? And they're having a lot of trouble over there at CBS because somebody asked a question of Ta-Nehisi Coates, and he just wants to wipe out the Jews. Is that not okay anymore? Come on. Speaking of Stuttgart, Germany, the Democrat Party is breathing life back into all the things from the 20th century that we thought had died. But never mind that. Amazing stuff we have going on. Yeah, Kamala was out there, and Barack Obama was out there as well. He's talking, he's on the campaign trail for Kamala, but he's not spending time with Kamala. He's not appearing in person with Kamala. No, no, no. And President Trump also appearing last night, or yesterday, in Detroit, Michigan. We've got in this politics thing, we're going to have to take a closer look at what's happened to American politics. It's kind of like this opera that they're doing in Stuttgart. Let's take another call. Let's go to Sue, calling from Damascus, Maryland. Sue, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Well, happy Friday, Chris, and thanks for taking my call. The reason I'm calling, you were talking earlier, or one of your callers was talking about the rights of illegal aliens versus the rights of citizens.
Uh-huh.
Well, a lot of state leaders do not adhere to the selective service law. The selective service is very clear that even if you are an illegal alien male between the ages of 18 and 26, you have 30 days upon entering this country to register for the draft so that you can be called up to fight. The only people who can't be called up to fight are people here with a green card from another country. They're like what's considered non-immigrant aliens.
And women. Now, let's not forget about women.
Women, yes. But now if you don't do that, you can never get any kind of benefits. You can't get in-state tuition. You can't get a driver's license. You can't get any benefits from the federal government. And you are immediately eligible for deportation, and you can never be granted citizenship, ever. So all these DACA people that are saying, you know, they want to become citizens, if they, after 30 days, had not registered for the draft, they could never be granted citizenship. And we've used this law very effectively to report alien males, four or five of them living in one house, and we report it. And they will send someone out, and they might give them an extension of 2 weeks. But if they do not register for the draft, they cannot ever get these citizens in-state tuition and any kind of benefits. For example, my son had to register to get in-state tuition in the state of Maryland. And when I testified against giving in-state tuition in Annapolis to illegals, I was able to get one of the state senators there to insert the rule that they have to prove they've registered with Selective Service. Now, I don't believe that they any longer enforce it, but this is a law on the books, Chris, and it should be enforced. And not only should they never, ever get any benefits, and I'm talking about any kind of benefits, driving a car, boarding a plane, having a bank account, any kind of benefits to illegal aliens, if they have not registered for that draft within 30 days of coming here, even if they're illegal, they have to register. And this is a wonderful tool, Chris, that our elected leaders should be enforcing.
Well, you know that you know how the Democrats would respond to that. And, you know, first of all, everything you're saying is true. What you're saying is 100% true, that any immigrant male coming into the United States between 18 and 25 required by federal law to register with the Selective Service for the draft, and you're supposed to do it, you're required to do it, within 30 days of arriving in the United States. And then if you don't do that, the Democrats, of course, would just scream that everyone's a racist and that we're a terrible country. And even though the Democrats get us into all these wars, they like to pretend that everybody else is responsible for everything. But you raise a very interesting point, Sue, and I'm going to bet a dollar that most people had no idea that even illegal alien males between the ages of 18 and 25 are required within 30 days to register for the draft with the Selective Service. And, you know, Sue, one of the things, and I've said it a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, because Democrats love to go around, they love abortion. You know, they love death more than we love life, but they love abortion. And who was it? Kamala on some one of the idiot shows she was on in the last week or so, saying, well, name one law that affects a man's body. Name one law that affects a man's body. And the immediate response to that, the appropriate response is, of course, how about the draft? The draft, yep. You know? Do you go off and fight and die in Korea, fight and die in World War One and World War Two, and the draft is kind of a big deal. I'm sorry, Sue, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, these benefits that we're extending to, I call them fugitives from justice. Their legal name is illegal alien, but I call them fugitives from justice. And by not enforcing this law, we are taking away benefits from citizens American citizens who cannot even get in-state tuition if they cannot produce a draft card. So I would really request, Chris, if you could make this an issue. You have access to a TV show and to a radio show, and you have that wonderful J.D. Vance running for vice president who not only signed up for the military, but actually went overseas, unlike the coward running with Kamala. I just think if people understood this, if our elected representatives understood this, this is so easily enforced. And you just, you know, not only are they never granted citizenship, but you can start the wheels moving to deport them.
Well, let me just you're 100% right, of course, Sue, but let me say this. The Democrats, and they're in charge of the White House and the departments and agencies, they have no interest in enforcing any laws that I'm aware of. Our immigration laws are enough to detain these people and to deport these people, but they don't enforce those laws. You can be a member of Tren de Aragua, the street gang, the prison gang out of Venezuela, and you can be a known member of Tren de Aragua, and the Democrats will still not enforce our immigration laws. You can be involved in drug trafficking or child sex trafficking, and the Democrats still won't enforce the laws, because the Democrat Party is here to tear down and to destroy. They're not liberals. They're the left. That's a completely different thing. But it's a fun point that you raise, Sue. It genuinely is. And I've got a lot more fun, crazy Democrat stuff to get to today. So don't go anywhere. We are at 888-630-9625.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink.
Morning Kick has probiotics to help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and powerful anti-aging supplements. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, and helps manage stress.
I look and feel better than I have in years.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com, use code COMBO, or text COMBO to 511-511 and claim 40% off. roundhouseprovisions.com, code COMBO.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee. You could be feeling these changes within just a couple of days.
Text COMBO to 511-511.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues? Who are you? Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Good morning, Doctor.
Doctor?
Hi, Doctor.
Doctor?
Dr. Jackson's practice is growing.
What do you mean we're still short-staffed?
He needs a good patient doctor.
How do we not have enough doctors to doctor all these patients?
And he doesn't have the patience to sift through hundreds of resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Former CIA officer Jason Hansen here. As someone who's dedicated my life to protecting people, I know the importance of guarding what matters most. Right now, with global instability and the dollar's declining value, that means securing your financial assets with gold. For me, I trust Advantage Gold with my own investments. Give them a call at 800-900-8000 for a 100% free gold guide. Again, call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 today.
Paid for by Advantage Gold. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtBlue is here for you. With DebtBlue's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtBlue are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
I want to take a moment, and can we try to think of any law that gives the government the power to make a decision?
I know what you're going to ask.
About a man's body.
Let's no. Try. No.
Is there no. any law?
No. No.
Oh, yes. No, no, no. Yeah, well, let's, you know, to ask the, what, 114,000 dead in World War One and 415,000 dead in World War Two and 36,000 dead in combat in the Korean War and 58,000 dead in Vietnam and on, pay no attention. All right, let's grab a phone call, Michael. They're not bright people, are they? Let's go to Barry calling from Frederick, Maryland. Barry, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris, true story.
My son was born in Maryland, went kindergarten through 12th grade in Maryland. After he graduated high school, he went for about a year and a half to a small school in Pennsylvania, and then he got accepted to an Ivy League school, and he was getting ready to transfer there, but he needed one class, and that class was offered at the University of Maryland, and he was charged out-of-state tuition. Now, I'm from Maryland. My wife and I were both born in Maryland, grew up in Maryland, have paid Maryland taxes for 40 years, and my wife and I are both University of Maryland graduates, and our son was still charged out-of-state tuition because he spent a year and a half at a Pennsylvania college. That sounds fair.
So he was considered to be no longer a resident, a legal resident of Pennsylvania, so he was no longer qualified for in-state tuition.
That's correct.
Did you have him go down to Tijuana and sneak across the border? Because then I think he'd get in-state tuition, wouldn't he?
I tried every argument you can imagine. I actually spoke to the president of the university, who at the time was a man by the name of Loh, L-O-H. He was an Asian guy.
Uh-huh.
I spoke personally to him, and they still would not budge. I've tried every argument. So if my son snuck across the border, he could get in-state tuition. Well, sir, you know how they talk, politicians, with their rambling nonsense. They're all Kamala Harris, just different shapes and sizes.
Yeah, honestly, the in-state tuition thing, and you're right, you work your whole life and don't become a crack dealer or a bank robber, and you pay lots and lots of taxes, more than you want. And then when the day comes where, hey, finally all this Maryland tax stuff pays off, then they snatch it away from you because they got to give it to a Venezuelan gang member who will be the beneficiary of your lifetime of work. Right, Barry?
Exactly. Every morning I get up and I think, I've got it. I've got so much to do today. I've got so many illegals that I've got to provide health care for, and dental care, and vision plans, and, you know, housing, and
you're a very
cards, you know.
Very generous person, a very generous and giving person.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.